This is the Green Party United States Steering Committee. It is the 13th of December, and this is a special budget call. This is Jody Grage, Secretary. The other Steering Committee members on the call so far are Andrea Merida, Gloria Matera, Mike Dennis, George Martin, and Darlene Elias. We're still waiting for Chris, Daryl, and Hillary, but we will start the call now. Holly Hart is our facilitator.
Okay. I have one thought to start, but I don't know if anybody had something that they wanted to open with. If not, I thought it might be helpful just to get things started to have each one of the steering committee just give like a 30 to second or to a minute statement as to what they hope to accomplish or what they'd like to see. And if you think that's a smart idea. Although you might have something more planned.
Jody Stack?
Go ahead.
Mike.
And then Mike.
I think that what we had planned to do was go through the budget line by line and see where we are in agreement to start with and what needs still to be discussing. But that was just my impression. So.
Okay. Michael, go ahead.
I agree with Jody, and I sent out the link to Hillary's document just as Jody was talking, so anyone who does not have that link, including Holly, can open their inbox and find that link to that Google Doc. Over.
Okay. Thank you, because I just I see it. Because I thought, well, it might be helpful to see it, so... In that case, do we want to just get started then?
So is that Google Doc a different budget or further explanation? Sorry, George here.
There's just a document I see here. Sorry,
I was just...
Is the revised budget, I opened it and I'm seeing a 2018 budget. Is that revised? You know, I'm asking that because I've been working on what we had yesterday. I just want to understand.
Mike, can you answer?
This is the same document that Hillary sent to us a few days ago, if that answers your question. Although it might look a little bit different because Hillary eliminated some of the tiered columns. Yeah, you're welcome.
Did I hear Chris?
Yep.
Okay.
So this is the update of Hillary's whatever, and I think everybody has gotten this, though. So who would like to start off? First, we're talking about revenue, I guess, from what I can see here. So anybody have a comment?
Jody Stack?
Jody, go ahead.
I think that Hillary and Mike are in the best position to lead the discussion so far. And since Hillary isn't on the call, do you want to do that, Mike, to get us started?
I don't have as in-depth a knowledge of the numbers as Hillary, but Tamar is also on the call and might have some of the income numbers as, you know, might come up with various of my colleagues' questions. So it looks like the first, let's see, rows 9 through, well, the first part revenue here, rows 7 through 12. So in column, F, we can see that I guess what the 20, hold on here. No. Okay. In column G, the year-to-date, what we actually project our income to be is $223,000 approximately. So we are, if you bump over one line to column H, row 13, we are going to anticipate, project a slight increase in our donations from $223,000 to $250,000. We have had an increase in revenue, I believe, in both October and November, with sending out a few more e-blasts. We should be having some return on direct mail that we just sent out. We're kind of expanding and trying some phone banking, text banking, other programs. So we anticipate hopefully that can bridge the gap as far as what we came up with in 2017, 223,000, and that will put us in place to, at minimum, be at 250,000, although, of course, we hope to surpass that.
Andrea Stack.
Andrea, go ahead.
This column E, amended 2016 budget, is this actual? It can't be because they're rounded numbers. Right?
Jody Stack?
Jody, go ahead.
I assume that is true. There was an, so this would be what the amended budget was for. I know that Hillary is working to get all the past data into so that it is quotable, but I don't think it is yet. So I think that is the amended 2016 budget, not the actual figures. I think you're correct, Andrea. And yes, the fact that it's round numbers is indicative, yes.
This is Tama for point of information.
Tama, go ahead.
I was going to ask you guys if you did have some questions that I could answer that Mike can't because I am on FinCom. But I don't have whatever you're looking at, and it's probably public, isn't it? Can you send it to us, to those of us who
Mike.
Are on here? Because I didn't know about those FinCom figures. You know, FinCom, when I was on FinCom, we didn't have those figures for revenue.
Mike, direct response.
Yeah,
Mike,
go ahead.
Point information. Tamar, I can email you the link to this document now. I'm sending it to tamaryagar@gp.org. And who's the other observer on the call? I can send it to them.
Mike, it was Luann Cosma. I actually have them here. I can send it right now if you want. I just did it.
Thank you. Thanks.
Over.
And if y'all want me to interrupt if I have some information, I will. Just tell me. You want me to interrupt if I have information?
Jody, is that okay with people?
Jody Stack.
Jody, go ahead.
If it's brief and occasional, Tama.
Yeah.
But we only have an hour and a half, so you know. Pick your spots, okay? I had a question for Mike. What are you saying that the new fundraising projects that are getting started now could raise the 2017 actual income up to 250, or are you saying that that should make a difference to get it up to 250,000 in 2018?
Direct response?
Yeah, go ahead. Thanks. Yeah.
I'm saying the latter. I'm saying that it should help for 2018. Hopefully, you know, maybe it'll give us a few thousand over the 223 for column G, but I was mainly speaking to this coming year. Over.
Any questions, comments? What should be done with this?
Jody Stack?
Go ahead.
I suggest that having gotten that, that review of lines 7 to 13, that we ask Mike to go ahead and give us an overview for lines 14 through 19.
Okay, seems good. Go ahead, Mike.
Andrea Stack?
Oh, Andrea, go ahead. Go ahead first, Andrea.
Just very, very briefly, I know that Chris has been working on some merch figures, so I'm hoping that his updated information is going to get included in this report back. Over.
Mike Stack.
Mike, go ahead.
Yeah, so I would yield mostly to Chris. If Chris has any updated information on merchandise numbers and perhaps Tamar on A&M, those two things are outside of the purview of the fundraising committee. The only thing that I'll note about lines 14 through 19 is that in column G, row 16 for retail sales, the year-to-date projected for merch. All of that is lumped into $10,000, while in the column beside it, it's kind of split up between 6,000 retail sales, 2,000 bulk, and then some for print and literature. But effectively, it appears to be the same projected income for merch overall. Over.
Just letting you know I'm here. Oh, hi.
George Stack.
Hillary just joined us.
Okay. Okay, so Hillary is here. George, could go ahead.
Yes, thank you. These lines 16 to 18, are they based upon a current negotiation with a fulfillment house? What are these based upon? And also, how does the printed literature fit into that beyond the green pages? Thank you.
Chris Tech.
Okay, Chris, go ahead.
So they are presently shipped. We order shirts and everything in bulk. For example, I think we just had to take XLs and double XLs off of our store because we ran out. And then they are shipped from the office by Cynthia. And I'll have to come back with the number. I'm getting into Equid right now. I'm not on the computer. I usually access that from. Hillary probably has the exact same numbers I would pull up. I know we've had the number of sales. Responding to the sale that were, you know, the holiday discounts we're giving, but I don't know the specifics. I haven't looked at it for a week or so, probably. So I'm going to go back and look at that. But yeah, we're shipping everything in house. Literally, my understanding is our office is essentially used for storing merchandise for the most part. That said, I've been doing some research on fulfillment houses. The biggest problem that I'm seeing is that business model is not necessarily set up for union, or, you know, for union, getting that union bug on there for small shop. So most of the places I'm coming across, like, if they have a section on unions, it's about how they're fending off unions. So that's been my big barrier in research. That said, I happened to run into a friend that works at a local print shop here, and said they run stores for people. So I'm going to talk to his boss, obviously we then kind of look around at other small shops. It looks like at our capacity where we're, selling, I don't know what we estimated. Nothing there. Okay, yeah. I want to say the last number I looked at was 12,000, but I had raw data and there's a bunch of declining sales and stuff, so I don't remember the number off the top of my head. I'll get back with. But for our low number, where we're at in sales, I think a small shop could handle us as a, print-as-you-go fulfillment, which is the ideal, but that we have designs people can order, and we don't actually have 100 of them in a warehouse, but we're having them printed as we go. So I'm going to end there and get my Equid password, get in there and get Equid for the year. Over.
Okay. George, go ahead.
Yeah, line item 18, what specific printed literature is that?
Chris,
go ahead.
All I can say as Green Pages liaison is they have their own budget. Obviously, Green Pages is there too, but I think the committee traditionally has their own. But then I think that's probably like a lot of other. We have all kinds of pamphlets we set people in.
I'm sorry. I don't want to respond like that. Thank you, Chris. George Stack.
Oh, yeah, go ahead. Go ahead.
Yeah, I'm not seeing printing costs. It was projected for next year the outreach would have no budget, but I'm not seeing printing costs here in terms of this whole budget that's relevant to outreach. I'm just putting that out there. I see the platform summary being cut back, But the other types of literature I'm not seeing in this budget. I'm asking for clarification.
Hillary, Sack?
Oh, Hillary, go ahead.
Yeah, so I think what a bare bones budget means in terms of that type of outreach is that the outreach committee might design flyers and materials, but that it would basically be on locals and states to pay for printing costs at the local level. So I think that's the plan, which is why there is no printing budget.
Twinkle.
Yeah, I'll defer it till we get to outreach. Thank you.
Any further? Oh, sorry. Sorry, I had to heat something up. Any further comments or questions? Should we move on? Can Hillary or Michael go ahead? It looks like total revenue going down here. Can we get into that section?
I'm getting myself situated, having just walked in the door. So if Mike can carry on, that would be great.
Okay, Mike, go ahead.
All of those items combined up to row 19 produce our total revenue for the year. In this budget is approximately $275,000. The next section we're looking at, rows 21 through 26, is part of the fundraising costs. Of course, fundraising salary and all salaries for staff in this budget that we're looking at are moved down to the bottom into the lump sum of staff. But the only other relevant item between columns G and H is that in 2017 we did have a budget for utilizing an independent contractor or contractors to write e-blasts, and that is something Funcom is sacrificing. So we will not have a budget for that next year, and will amongst members of our committee and other people that we find in the party pull together and write those e-blasts. I'll pause there before we move on to the next section starting at row 28.
Any questions, comments, clarifications, outrage, approval? Any questions?
Okay, hearing none, I'll move right on to the next section, which are some of the other fundraising costs, so rows 28 through 34. They are very similar to the 2017 budget. Some of them are slightly decreased, and generally the notion behind all of this is that one thing that we need, of course, to reach our $250,000 income for donations is we need to keep fundraising going. And we've luckily been able to start up some new programs, potentially some new avenues of revenue, and we need to ensure that we have funding for all of those particular things. I'm happy to go into detail about any of the particular line items if people have questions. Over.
Any questions?
Andrea, Stack.
Andrea, go ahead.
Line 33, prospecting for new donors, that's a significant drop from the previous years. Can you just a bird's eye into what actions that entails and why that's so much smaller? Over.
Sure.
I'll let Hillary and then Michael, if that's okay.
Mike is on FunCom, so you know what? I'll let him do it.
Okay, so Michael, sorry about that. Go ahead, Michael.
Sure. First off, just kind of within Funcom, I think when we were looking at this budget, certainly we felt the importance of keeping our funding largely the same. But of course, when other committees are going to sacrifice potentially their entire stipend or whatnot, we recognized that we had to at least on some items cut back a little bit. Prospecting for new donors, at least in 2017, has entailed some of our phone banking and text banking, which I hope to get going by this Friday. I believe that's the line item where we hope to print stickers from. So a couple hundred dollars worth of stickers, say if you donate, you know, $2 or whatnot, if you're a new person to our email list, we will send you a sticker. So that's a way to collect new email addresses. That may be the line that we're also, we could potentially use for sending a small batch of postcards or postage for letters to people from voter rolls, from, you know, states that we are collaborating with, people that are not already in our database, outreaching to them, trying to bring them into the GPUS database as far as their phone number and email. So, I mean, there's a variety of projects that are potentially entailed in that line item. Would I love to see it be more than 6,000? Absolutely. We probably have the ideas and projects that could entail 10,000 over the course of the year, but we cut some line items because we wanted to participate in that mutual sacrifice to the degree that we felt somewhat comfortable while recognizing that we're the primary income-generating committee. Over.
George Stack.
George, go ahead.
I have some information on this, too.
My question is, this year, we're projected to spend one-tenth of the budget. What happened? And now we're asking for six times that, six times next year what we spent this year. I'm just trying to understand.
What line are you looking at?
Mike, direct response.
I am looking at prospecting for new donors. The budget this year was $10,000. We spent $1,000. And now we're talking about projecting six times that much for next year. I do believe that we need to spend money to grow, but I want to know what happened in terms of us only hitting one-tenth of the budget.
I can help with this.
Okay, Tom, go ahead.
There are not all the costs are in there yet. We, for prospecting for donors, that's just what we spent so far. We have some things in the works right now that are going to be sent before the end of the year. And the other thing is this candidate campaign list mailing, that's not necessarily going to be a candidate campaign. It will be voter lists and some other things because that was the Stein list from last year. So those figures in the total amount should be $42,000, but the way it's broken down, we're not sure yet on some of that. So we're starting to try to budget by piece rather than what it is because it's an easier way to project it. Over.
Hillary Stack?
George Stack.
Hillary and then George.
Yeah, so just in terms of the year-to-date actuals, the $1,000, so by my accounting, we have spent roughly $819 on prospecting new donors this year, and I rounded it up to 1,000 knowing that there are a handful more state voter files that I'm sure we'll do in the next couple of weeks. But other than that, I'm not aware of anything else, so if you are, please let me know. My understanding is that Funcom just didn't really do this until very, very recently. And that's why the money was largely unspent.
Tama Stack.
Tama, go ahead.
Mike Stack.
Okay, Tama and then Mike.
Jody Stack.
Okay, hang on.
Excuse me. Point of order.
Hang on. Okay, I've got Tama, I've got Michael, and then George. George, did you have a further question?
No, I don't have.
Okay.
I'll stay in line. Thank you.
Okay,
Holly?
Jody. Yes. What?
I think that all the steering committee members should speak before an observer speaks.
That's fine.
Twinkle.
I'm just trying to help you.
That's fine, but Thomas had some information and no one else was piping up at the time, so I thought that might be helpful.
Twinkle.
If that's okay.
I still do.
Okay, so if Thomas could speak and then I think I had Michael.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, Tom, go ahead.
some of that money is not actually acquiring the donors. It's using the money to get them, like, for direct mail and stuff. And that's what we have, a voter registration direct mail planned for the end of the year and a state one planned for the end of the year. So it isn't just acquiring the names. It's spending the money to get the money in. So it isn't just acquiring the names. We'll spend some of that money. We'll spend more in that category by the end of the year. We just talked about it tonight. Over.
Okay.
I'm done. I'm going back on mute.
Okay, Michael? Michael,
yeah, I appreciate George's question. I think ultimately what this comes down to is that up until about September, when the SC finally got around to approving new committee liaisons, all fundraising work pretty much fell on the shoulders of Amar and Starlene. And, you know, I came on as FunCom liaison in September, so now we have three people who are sharing the brunt of the fundraising work. But with that addition of the third person, myself, to the committee, we've been able to expand into some new projects. Certainly, they aren't, you know, up and going immediately. It took about a month to work out the kinks of phone banking. Certainly before that, we just needed to increase our basic eBlast production, which is what we were doing for most of October and into November. I can assure you in 2018, we will spend $6,000. We could spend more than that. And certainly if the national committee, states, and caucuses can get more people onto the fundraising committee to support me, Starlene, and Tamar, I mean, I could spend that extra $9,000 in a matter of weeks if we had additional support. But it's just a matter of getting those projects up and going. Thank you. Over.
Thank you. Anybody else? George, did I hear you on there? Or no.
This is George. Thank you. Yeah, I want to throw up a red flag in terms of this continued discussion. I'm hearing that there's an effort to spend more money before the end of the year in this line. And Sunday night, we basically told Outreach that you could not spend any money. There's only 2 weeks left in this year. I put that red flag up. I pass. Thank you.
Hillary Stack.
Mike Stack.
Andrea Stack.
Okay. Hillary, then Michael, then Andrea. Hillary, go ahead.
So just a direct response to George. I fully appreciate that sentiment, and thank you for remembering that. However, in this particular case, we authorized FunCom to spend this money either 2 weeks ago or 4 weeks ago. And then just to circle back around, people may notice that on line 29, we have actually spent, because I just got a bill today from Red Sun Press, $25,000 on the actual snail mail letters. And so it's very possible that one of those belongs in this prospecting line item, and I just need Tama or some Starlene to go through, you know, just to tell me. But I interpreted prospecting to mean only the actual purchasing of new lists and not the mailing of those lists. So that's maybe why money is in the wrong line item.
Thank you. Let's see. Michael and then Andrea.
Yeah, I also appreciate the sentiment of, you know, being wary of how we spend our money. But I do feel the need to bring up the differentiation between expenses that directly are trying to expand our income in a more direct way and things that are less prioritized at the moment. Over.
Andrea, go ahead.
Thanks. You know, we have to keep in mind, too, that the end of the year is a really big fundraising time of the year, you know, and so it makes sense for us to kind of allow FunCom to, you know, kind of stretch their legs a little bit and try to bring this in some revenue before the end of the year. There's that. The other thing is that I'm not aware of any big brochure projects that's going on right now in outreach that need to have something earmarked. I mean, if they do have something, you know, there was a budget figure for them. You know, we're not taking money away from them this second. you know, but now they have 2 weeks to come up with a project, and, you know, I mean, it's probably going to get funded if it's a brochure of some type. So it's not a dire situation, but I don't mind giving fundraising some flexibility for the end of the year, as I said, because we are in a prime giving time of the year. Thanks. Over.
George Stack.
George, go ahead.
We've lost that timing. People go after money in October or the minimally around Thanksgiving. We're 2 weeks towards the end of the year, and any advantage has been lost there. I support FunCom and this effort, but to say, you know, this is going to have a better return if we spend it right now, I don't agree with that. Thank you.
Any comment or resolution to this, or should we move on? We need to move on.
Gloria Stack.
Gloria, go ahead.
So I just want, are people just at this point kind of voicing their concerns or support for this particular item, or do we have to come to some conclusion about it at some point, and is that going to happen line by line? I mean, I also know that when we have to prioritize, usually the prioritizing has to go to what is revenue producing or has revenue enhancement potential, right? And that is why this makes sense to me in the way it is. Although I appreciate, you know, George bringing that up, because it wasn't easy. It's not easy to turn down requests for other aspects of party building. Pat.
Jody Stack.
Jody, go ahead.
I think that we could, as a group, come to consensus that we're reasonably satisfied with this section, that we may want to revisit it, but that there's nothing that we feel a great need to do now, so that we can move on to the next lines. How does that sound?
Any disagreement with that? If not, let's move ahead. Go ahead. Michael, you want to continue?
Look, Chris Stack.
Chris, go ahead.
Real quick before we move on, to backtrack a little, I went into the payment processor. And rough, just looking on the, like, we need a new payment processor. You can't even run reports to tell you how many sales of each product and how much you can get a raw data file. You then have to go to the spreadsheet and get that data. So we need a new payment processor, or whatever they're actually doing, Equid, for us. But it looks like we've made about $14,734 in sales. And that's just me looking at accepted sales on the site. It's not me actually parsing the raw data to find out what were actual, you know, if any of those didn't work out or whatever. So,
for what time period, Chris, for the notes?
For the year. January 1 to today, we're at about 14,734.
Any further questions or comments? If not,
Tama, point of information on merch.
Okay. Go ahead, Tama.
I think that includes shipping for part of the year too, because that.
Yeah,
I don't think it's broken down. It's not. You don't have it broken down, probably.
Chris Stack.
Go ahead, Chris.
Well, anyway, I just thought I'd throw that out there. Over.
Do we charge shipping when you buy something from us?
Not now. But we were for part of the year.
It's coming
so.
Out as a whole separate expense. So this is not including the amount. This is not taking off our cost. This is just total revenue from sales.
Right. And some of that revenue is shipping. So, because we did charge for it at first. Over.
Hillary Staff.
Okay. Hillary, go ahead.
I mean, at some level, the shipping is irrelevant. Like, it's money in, and at someplace else, there's a shipping charge out. And
right.
So for whatever it's worth, though, and maybe I'm missing something, but and granted this is only January through September, but I have our merch income being closer to $8,000. So perhaps there was $5,000 worth of sales in October and November, but that would be double what most other months were. So I don't know how that's, there's something not like,
yep,
I'm not making it to my reports or.
Any further information? Okay. Hearing no more, let's continue. I guess Mike's going ahead.
Okay, so moving on to the next group of lines 36 through 38. Those for the 2017 budget were zero, other than the fundraiser costs, and we are cutting those for the coming year.
Okay, any comments about that? Questions?
Hillary Stack.
Hillary, go ahead.
So just to explain why there is actual expenses in that line, is we have these chargebacks every month, which are disputed charges, and really they should just be deducted from revenue, but I don't yet have a good way of figuring out which revenue category to deduct them from, so I've just been dumping them in other fundraising. So just FYI, to some degree, it's not really that we had unauthorized expenses in line 36. I just don't have a better place to put those expenses.
Okay.
This is Jody for the notes. So that is line 36, Hillary?
Yes.
Okay.
Okay. No further comments, we'll continue. Go ahead, Michael.
So moving on to the merchandise costs, which are lines 40 through 46. There is a lot of cuts here, and so what that entails is that, for example, for postage and shipping, we either begin to effectively incorporate that into the price, or ultimately the goal being that, as Chris already explained, that we be able to move to a fulfillment house or print-as-you-go store. Therefore, MerchCom in the coming years are looking to incorporate all of those potential expenses other than advertising into the cost of merchandise. Over.
Hillary Stack.
Go ahead, Hillary.
So I actually just wanted to pop back up to line 37 for a second. And just note, wearing my former A&M hat, that this budget has the A&M making money, about $2,500, but there is zero money in the budget for a fundraiser at the A&M. So just making sure that people are aware.
Andreas, Jack?
Go ahead.
There's no money for a fundraiser, meaning an event or a person, over.
An event. There's usually never been a person who's paid. Like, there's been a long time since we've paid anyone to do anything for the A&M. I mean, it's not that there can't be a fundraiser. It's just more of this has to come from registration.
Okay. Any other questions about this section then? If not, we can go ahead.
Yeah, George Stack.
Oh, George, go ahead.
Yeah, I'll just do this quickly. Yeah, okay. If it's available, I'd like to see an inventory of printed material and merchandise, but more importantly, printed material as we go forward. Thank you.
Chris Stack.
Okay, I'm hearing some mms, and then Chris, go ahead.
I'm working on getting costs for what we're actually paying for the shirts when we buy them. I've been talking to MerchCom, and Dave has been working on getting updated inventories of what we actually have in the office. So as soon as I have that, I'll get it out. Over.
Okay, thank you. Okay, any further questions, clarifications? If not, we will move on. Michael, take it away.
Okay, so I believe we've reached effectively the end of all the various fundraising cost components, which so as we see on line 50 in column H, after those fundraising merchandise and A&M costs, that leaves us approximately $232,000 for the rest of expenditures. So moving into the program expenditures, as we see on line 53, the first category being electoral politics, lines 54 through 60, 61. So again, all salaries are moved into the lump sum salary at the bottom. We retain some money, a drastic cut, but some money for ballot access, recognizing the importance of getting on at least a few more states in the coming year. And then there is some remaining funds for CCC campaign school. Over.
Jody or somebody, with regard to ballot access, who's on tap for this year? And you know, does this accurately contain the cost? I guess Chris could answer this question as well. Does this accurately contain the cost that you expect for ballot access for this year? That's one question. And then, I can ask, I have a CCC question, but I can ask that separately. Thanks. Over.
Jody Stack.
Jody, go ahead.
Well, this isn't nearly enough money to do what we need to do for ballot access. We recognize that that we're in austerity mode, and ballot access is going.
Jody?
Hello?
Hi, Jody?
Did she just drop off?
It sounds
I can answer for her.
Yeah, go ahead.
So I'm looking at
I have a quick question. What line are we looking at? I'm just trying to follow along.
It looks like she just dropped off the call. We're on
line 58.
Okay, thanks.
So ballot access submitted a budget to to FinCom as requested, and it was $120,000. I think Jody's coming back, but they have a whole long list of states here. Every single the amount that they of signatures needed. If we fully paid for every single signature that we needed in these 22 states, it would be $1.2 million. They cut it down and prioritized, and it came out to $120,000. So, it's like not even useful. The same ways to even look at this information, because we don't even have a prayer of meeting that demand.
Direct response?
Yes, go ahead.
Just, I'm asking about priority, and I understand, Hillary, you don't have that. Who's the top one or two that we absolutely need to get after, and what is the estimate for that? Over.
Jody, are you back on the call? Can you answer? She's asking what the top two states' priorities would be, where we would have the most need to spend money.
Yes, I'm back on the call, and I do not have that information at the moment, having been doing other stuff for, the last week. But as far as ballot access goes, it's a string of things. It is very difficult to, there are a number of factors that go into prioritizing states. And it's not a simple call, but I can make a note you know, and see that the next ballot access, I mean, ballot access does this a lot, but at the moment I don't have the information, and I think that it's really, in some ways, a pretty impossible question. We'll do as much as we can with the money we've got, and we'll raise as much money as we can to do the rest of it, and we'll hope that GPUS can increase the budget item. That's about all I can say.
Gloria,
I had Michael, Hillary, and then Andrea.
Gloria,
no, that's Gloria. I'll open it back after Gloria.
Okay, so I've got Michael, Hillary, Gloria, and then Andrea. So, Michael, go ahead.
Sure. So this isn't a direct answer to your question, Andrea, but I believe that some of the states that are being discussed or kind of already in process are Montana, which I don't believe would require any further funding. Nebraska, I believe, has already started somewhat. Kansas is soon voting on whether or not they're going to pursue ballot access. I think maybe there's been discussion of Wyoming or Alaska as well. I think one of the big ones for 2018, other than North Carolina, which has already received some funding and is approximately maybe halfway towards their signature, although I think, you know, slow down, maybe they'll need another small bump. But I think one of our big opportunity states is Indiana. And, you know, that's not a state that we've ever, I believe, to my knowledge, been on, had ballot access for. But they seem raring to go, and that is one of the higher signature requirements. So as a member of the ballot access committee, that's certainly where I think, 2,000 or so of that money could go to Indiana if they demonstrate through the first couple months of the year that they're serious and that they can make this happen. Over.
Thank you. So let's see. Gloria.
What's that?
Gloria, Andrea, then George. Okay, yeah, Andrea.
Yes,
or Gloria.
I mean, I think Mike probably answered most. Really, was just to say, have you? I understand it's hard to make that, to provide all that information, but it was really, is there a budget for each state besides the fact that then
yes.
Prioritizing? But it sounds like that's, you answered most of that for me. Thank you.
Jody Stack?
Andrea, then George, then Jody.
I bet that's a direct response, though. If Jody can go ahead of me.
I did want everyone to know that the Ballot Access Committee has a ballot access funding request form that states that want to have money fill out, which is quite detailed. You know, how much money, what would you do with it, why will this work, why is this important, what legal action might be necessary. So it's a fairly comprehensive form. So it's not like we're just passing money out whimsically. I just wanted to be sure that the steering committee knew that.
Thank you.
Great,
so, go ahead, George, and then Andrea, and then George.
Here's what my issue is. I appreciate the fact that, you know, all the states are different. There's a comprehensive ballot access form. I don't know how we get to this point, but I think this is necessary, and I think that this budget should have included all of the political considerations, you know, as far as what moving to 2020 looks like and 5% or something like that. This, I don't pretend to know all the ins and outs. I mean, I know some of the requirements for some states for ballot access, but I think at some point we have to get to the point. I mean, I'm okay with this $6,000 figure for now, right? And I want to talk about going forward for the rest of 2018 or into 2018, some sort of designated fundraising sort of a situation, or we assist state parties in their own fundraising efforts. But I wanted to have the political discussion about what which states really are the ones that we need to have, you know, and what that's going to cost and what we're actually going to do. Because here's the thing. I mean, we're just – this $6,000, okay, fine. That's an arbitrary number. That doesn't say anything about where we need to be in 2020. With all due respect to everybody that's really busting their tails in the ballot access committee, what I personally would like to see is an analysis on how we can get to 5% and which are the states that are necessary to do that. So there's a lot of smart people on that committee and with a lot of long experience. And I would just ask whoever the liaison is, whoever the chairs are, I don't know exactly who that is, you know, can we ratchet it down with more information? Because if there's states with a priority, then we have to prioritize those fundraising campaigns this year. So, over.
Thank you. Okay, George.
I'm just raising the question as I look at candidate schools, campaign schools, candidate support, excuse me. Mm-hmm. And I go down the line, we are not allowing anything for printing again. I just want to make note of that. Thank you.
Any further comments?
Chris Stack.
I did have questions about CCP stuff when we're ready to get there.
Okay, I've got you on, Andrea. Chris, go ahead and respond to this, and then we can continue, Andrea.
And Hillary Stack.
I'm not finding it at the moment. Primarily because I'm not on the computer that I do things on. But ballot access is budget requests was pretty, got into a lot of, this is what we want this money for. The budget request of $120,000 also doesn't include getting on the ballot in Illinois or in Texas, where we have these massive ballot access signature requirements. And as a member of the Illinois exec, I don't know that we'll be running someone. 50,000 signatures is a lot to do in 90 days. But so they do have, there is documentation, and then, on the ballot access and a bad ballot access state front, I mean, Jill spent $61,000 in Illinois, I think. And that was with us collecting the majority of our signatures with volunteers. And so there's just Illinois. We would do it. We could do it cheaper now. I think we're stronger as a state party. But the costs here are just astronomical to get it done. Over.
Hillary, go ahead. And then I think we had somebody else. I know, Andre. Okay, let Hillary go ahead and answer this one first, and then we'll move on to the CCC question.
I just wanted to note, and to be honest, I haven't had a chance to circle back around with anyone about this, but there is some money in reserve funds from this year that will carry over, and ballot access is on the healthier side. From my calculations, running the numbers as of the end of October, they have $12,000 in reserve. So I just want to put that out there, which could either justify reducing that $6,000 because they really have $12,000 to spend, or making us feel better that they're going to get there. They really have close to $18,000 because they have this $12,000 in reserve. So just wanted to note that.
Chris, back.
Chris, go ahead.
That also reminded me that the Ballot Access Committee does regular fundraising as well. So they are doing the work to try to, increase it on their own as well. Over.
Okay. Any further comments on this? If not, Andrea, go ahead with your question on the CCC.
Okay. It's just very briefly on ballot access. If there's a document out there that I didn't take a look at, I apologize, but if someone could hold my hand and share that with me, I would appreciate that. But moving on to CCC, it's a very similar kind of question, right? Legislative seats would be a really cool thing to have, other than the two that flipped in Maine, right? So has there been any analysis about where our prospects are highest, you know, where it's going to be easiest to try to, you know, are we targeting particular states where we can have a better chance of getting legislative seats? I'll put it there. Over.
Okay. Anyone can answer that?
Hillary Stack.
Yeah, go ahead.
So we have tried at the CCC to have a national electoral strategy, and we explicitly did not want to do a strategy that focused on a particular seat or level of seat. And instead, we're attempting to do something based on issues that, for a variety of reasons, I think is not actually working. But, you know, with only $2,000, I mean, I think $2,000 for us is, you know, it's pretty minimal. I think while we might have great plans about where we'd like to put our effort geographically or for other political reasons, I mean, unfortunately, it also just requires a heavy lift on the ground, and we're going to go wherever there's energy to actually organize something to have us. And so this year we had probably 4 or 5 states perk up and be interested in hosting a campaign school, and only one was able to actually execute. So, you know, it's a good question, but unfortunately, I think just where we're at right now, it's not yet super relevant.
Any further comments or questions?
Andrea,
go ahead.
So if you all are going to be working on issue stuff, you know, there's the discussion that we had on the email list about the 940 or whatever for the, for the petitioning site. Then maybe we could just hold that off for a couple of weeks and, you know, we can move some money into that. That way we can have dual purpose if you all are going to be doing issue campaigns. You know, that is one of the things that we had asked Adrian to start looking at as well. So, you know, maybe we can combine all those resources and get all of that jump started. And I have to say, you know, I feel a particular itch when it comes to Alabama. You know, you all have seen my email. I feel like, you know, with all those 21,000 write-ins and with the, you know, really lackluster voter turnout, you know, if what we can do is start focusing on issues in Alabama and start moving towards strengthening the state party, start helping them get the ballot access, because I have the idea that those are one of those particularly onerous ballot access kind of states. You know, I just want to put that in the hopper and to hopefully steer us, you know, give some ideas to steer us in the right direction. But, yeah, I think maybe if we need to move a little bit of money so that we can cover that petitioning site, then I want to make a motion then to figure that out where we can move that from. Maybe even, I don't know, can we take some money from the ballot access reserves, like $1,000? Over.
Jody Stack.
Mike Stack.
Jody and then Mike, go ahead.
Looking at the combination of 6K and 12K gives ballot access about a tenth of the money that it would really take to be ready for 2020. I think that ballot access needs to be rewarded for the fact that it's done fundraising and plans to do more. And I think that taking money away from ballot access is not a good idea. I am no longer co-chair, but I'm still on the committee and vitally interested, of course, because part of it is that the number of states we have ballot access in is a very good indicator of the general support that we get and the creds that we have going into the election cycle. Over.
Michael, go ahead.
With regards to the software expense, I believe that Funcom is prepared to pay that out of our 2017 prospecting for donors. I mean, while it certainly intersects with a lot of other committees, which hopefully are taking the lead on some of those list building and political efforts. At the same time, you know, that directly impacts fundraising in our size of our email list. Over.
Andrea Stacks.
Andrea, go ahead.
So there was $2,000 that was moved into the bank account for the Green Senatorial Campaign Committee that I don't believe was ever used for GNN, and wanted to find out the disposition of that and if maybe that can be allocated towards some of the general CCC needs for 2018. Over.
Hillary Stack.
Hillary, go ahead.
So all the money that was left over from Jill's donors for GNN that was not spent was returned to the donor, as I believe was requested mm-hmm. by the steering committee. So we have $127 in our separate account.
Okay, thanks.
Further questions or more comments on this? Any decisions we need to make or you need to make now? I mean, if it were up to me, I would confiscate everything for, well, it wouldn't make a difference anyway. So, as Jody said, so anything else you want to discuss on this topic, or shall we move along? Hearing nothing, let's continue. Michael, do you have, you want to discontinue?
Sure, I'm on a roll. Let's
okay.
So that was our electoral politics section. Moving on to organizing outreach, which I know is a lot of various discussion, various kind of sub-discussions I know that we'll want to talk about. So why don't we do lines 64 to 69. So, of course, once again, all staff salary has been moved to the bottom, which leaves green pages, layout, printing and shipping, and platform summary printing. So effectively, all of those line items for 2018 have been zeroed out, other than the stipends for Green Pages layout, which I believe is paid to some of the members of the Green Pages committee that do this work professionally. But the idea, again, is that printing and shipping of Green Pages will somehow have to be worked into the cost, or if states want to have, you know, that states will have to pay to have them shipped, or hopefully that Green Pages will come out with a format that is easily printable for states and locals. Same thing with platform summary, you know, let's have that certainly on the website. Like many other resources that hopefully can be designed and put on the website, but those things can be, you know, printed by states and locals as needed. Over.
Any questions?
George Stack.
George, go ahead.
Printing by states is inefficient. We don't hit economies of scale in terms of what we could do nationally and share. That's just a note I want to put there. You know, I understand the economy here in moving it over to the states, but ultimately it almost doubles the price. Thank you.
Jody Stack?
Jody, go ahead.
We've done pretty well printing things here in Washington State. It ends up costing us less, and there aren't for us here, and we do the printing at union shops, it's worked out pretty well. Just thought I'd throw that in. It's faster, it's more reliable, the basic cost is lower, so we have no problem doing our own printing here. Over.
Mike Stack?
Mike, go ahead.
Well, I certainly understand that the bulk printing might save in price. We're also looking at cutting the shipping price, as well as the staff hours that it would take to ship all of that out. Over.
Further comments or questions? Yeah. Oh, go ahead. Who was?
Corey. No, I was just going to kind of twinkle. Corey, yeah, I was just going to kind of twinkle what Jody said. I think it's just more efficient for states to do that. I mean, I guess there's always a possibility there's a fledgling state party that may not be able to, but I think in general, in New York, we find it, and it's easy to find, if you put the word out, people who can do those kinds of things, even at their job, or donate that as something towards a local party. So I think there's a lot of ways for state parties to do that, and I don't think this has to be a national expense at this time. Pass.
Thanks. Any further comments? Or if not, we will continue. Go ahead.
Okay, so moving on to the next group of line items. So let's take 70, which starts at the Outreach Committee, down to 75, so everything before the Diversity Committee. So all of these items are zeroed out. Many of these items were not really utilized in 2017. So the caucus allocation, for example, is something that we don't necessarily, that we don't have the funds to support in the next year. Those advertising lines, advertising on social media, et cetera, at least from my perspective, those are things which belong in the media committee budget to begin with. The graphic designer as well, and we've already kind of had this discussion that we love Justin, he does amazing work, but we do have graphic design volunteers that need to be cultivated and utilized. Same thing for printed materials, as discussed above. Certainly we want new materials created. They can be put on the website so that states and locals can print them as they need them. Over.
Darlene Stack.
Darlene, go ahead.
So I very much appreciate, well, I don't appreciate it, but I do understand the crisis that we're in right now with the budget deficit and so forth. However, this is going to be my statement, and I find this budget to be very growth prohibitive. It's maintaining the status quo. You're looking to maintain salaries. You're looking to maintain operational costs, but you're doing nothing to promote the growth of the party. Despite what you may say that the caucuses didn't use the money, outreach committee didn't use the money, but you're significantly cutting the budget in regards to outreach and caucuses. And it is outreach and caucuses right now that are maintaining the party and play a very, very vital role in the growth of this party. There's this talk of, well, you know, the caucuses didn't use it, the outreach committee didn't use it. A lot of that has to do with starting points. You know, the outreach committee didn't start being active until mid-year. Same thing with diversity, same thing with some of these caucuses that were reinventing themselves. And so perhaps that was part of the dilemma to them utilizing their funds. You go and you reduce the outreach committee budget down from 20 to 5, and then the caucuses and the committees down to 0, you are severely prohibiting the ability of these caucuses to do any kind of outreach as it is, or to even use the outreach committee is as a security blanket per se to fund some of these activities and do outreach. So basically what you're doing right now is just fundraising money for salaries that you have not even been able to prove or to demonstrate in an effective way that the individuals that we're paying money for are even doing their job because of the lack of performance reviews, evaluations, the lack of transparency in regards to salaries and so forth. You take the budget, you take the salaries, and you kick them to the bottom. You don't even put out there what salaries were paid out last year. Forget about what's projected, because I understand that the employees are collectively getting together and deciding that they will, you know, take a cut They'd rather take a cut in hours and pay than somebody losing their job. That's very honorable. However, that doesn't mean that you should not be transparent in your process to write out who's making what when, and transparent in your process as to justifying why people are earning what they're earning. But it seems to me like you're very quick to cut what the very thing that makes our party grow and be successful. So as an SD, I would say right now you're prohibiting growth more than you are encouraging it. And the only thing that's really going to turn this around is fundraising. Over.
Mike Stack.
Mike, go ahead.
I appreciate that sentiment, Darlene. I disagree with much of it. So first I want to say with regard to the caucuses, all caucuses have an individual fundraising account. The youth caucus, aside from our designated allocation that we received for the 2017 budget, in addition to that, we raised over $2,500 ourselves. So it's possible for caucuses and some committees as well to put in that work to become self-sustaining. I very much and deeply appreciate the work that Outreach has put in the past half year. In my personal perspective, I think similarly we need to shift to a culture of volunteerism. I mean, most of us already are volunteers, but we need to make do with more volunteerism. So we saw a lot of great allocation requests from Outreach over the summer to support a lot of locals and whatnot. And, you know, that's great. That's not something we can support in 2018. But I think that this is a transformative budget. I think that we need to take this opportunity of these cuts and shift our perspective and say, okay, well, that means that we need to find some graphic designers to help design some of these things for outreach for many of the things, because we have over 1,000 volunteers in Nation Builder that can do that. You know, we have thousands of volunteers that want to help with, like, video editing and administrative work. So I think that if we shift our perspective, we can see this as an opportunity. I certainly agree with you on some of the frustration that you've articulated on staff. Of course, this not being an executive session, we can't get into that. But I guess the point being, regardless of how some of those procedures are run right now and our personal opinions on kind of particular project or members of that staff, it's at least my belief in how I design this budget, that we do need staff people, and we need a culture of volunteerism to support that, and part of those volunteers for various committees and caucuses can be fundraising for individual projects like the Youth Caucus has successfully done. Over.
Darlene
Stack.
Gloria Stack.
Okay, I got Darlene, Jorkins, and Gloria. Darlene, go ahead.
So,
go ahead, Darlene.
We need staff, which is accurate. All organizations need staff, but you need to be able to justify why we're paying individuals a salary and what they're doing. And that process is not transparent. And as an SC, we've been lacking in that progress, area. Secondly, you want to, again, we need to change the perspective and shift the perspective to volunteerism, but the way this budget is outlined, we need to shift to volunteerism when it comes to outreach, when it comes to the caucuses, when it comes to the committees, but of course, we don't need to shift to volunteerism when it comes to fundraising, when it comes to media, when it comes to other operations that you deem vital. So do we have some elitism going on within our own party? Maybe, right? Because we tend to justify some things, but we don't justify the need for other things. There's a lot of lack of transparency that's going on within our party, within the SP, and with a lot of backdoor negotiations. And, you know, it's about time that some of this stuff gets disclosed. Over.
Mike Stack.
Okay, I had George and then I have Mike.
Sorry, Gloria.
Oh, Gloria, I'm sorry. Gloria, then George, then Mike.
Second time.
Yeah, thank you. I bring this up not necessarily that we're on outreach, but as I look at the total budget, and us being a national, you know, one of the four major parties in this country, and not having allocated any money for printing, that's atrocious. You know, it's been mentioned, I don't know if we reviewed budgets quarterly or at least halfway through the year with committees in terms of what we're doing. I would vow that that's something that we need to do in terms of accountability. But here we have an outreach committee that I've heard, and I'm new to the game here, that's been really doing the best that they can for the last 6 months. And we told them that you can't spend money this year at all. And in that, me going back to that committee, I take that message. I also took the message before that we are in dire straits in terms of what we can do. The outreach committee getting nothing in the first quarter. I've had discussions, and I've moved very specifically that we allocate $3,600 to the outreach committee with a primary base of publication. Thank you.
I have Gloria and then Michael. Is there anybody that has a direct response to this, or do you want to take this up later?
That sounds like a proposal, actually.
So do you want to discuss this now? Do you want to hear a couple people talk and then come back to this? Why don't we listen to Gloria and then Michael and then see if we want to come back to George's proposal? There should be time for that.
Okay. I may be looking at this differently. One is someone who nearly lost their job a few months ago and saw many colleagues lose their job at work because we're in an austerity moment in public health here in New York City, like everywhere. And I'm a fairly new member of the steering committee. But I do think that we have to make better use structures of people who volunteer. But staff is essential to run an organization. In fact, money aside, we don't have enough staff or configured properly. You need one person that basically supervises staff and keep things going. Like, that's a challenging job for a group of us who are volunteers and have their own, you know, work lives during the day. And I think everybody does the best they can. You know, some of the caucuses are different, and they're in different places. So I don't think that every caucus needs a little pool of money right away. If we have that, or if we do have that later on in the year, I mean, that there's nothing wrong with budget readjustments. You know, we can come back and look and see how things are going. But the main thing to keep the engine running, you know, while we're trying to get ourselves to a different level financially, are the kinds of things that bring in money and attention. In a different way than maybe activities that caucuses or committees could be doing. And the other thing is, like, I hear what you're saying, Darlene, and your frustration about it. And I think there are some of these conversations are not appropriate, not in executive session. But I want to say that. You know, there are staffing and work performance and responsibilities and stuff that we obviously have to look at. And to be honest, in this newest configuration steering committee, we have been looking at it. But there are, you know, I think some of the accusations are a little unfair, particularly because the staffing issues have been going on for some time that maybe raise concerns for you. Some of us weren't involved in those decisions. Expanding people's hours or hiring people or deciding things. I mean, some of the things are the previous steering committee. Some of the things are steering committees going back there. And I think we're trying our best. And it's really hard to be in a position where we're a group of people who are dedicated to this party and care about the other people dedicated to this party, whether they're volunteers on committees or staff people working for the party, that you know, we have to make some hard decisions. But if we don't make these, some of these decisions now, I think we're going to be in worse shape. Pass.
Darlene Sack, direct response.
Okay, Darlene, and then we have Michael, and then a question. Okay, Darlene, go ahead.
So, again, I understand the need for staff to maintain an organization. What I think the main issue here is lack of transparency and hypocrisy. So it's very easy to say, yes, let's cut the budget for the outreach committee. Let's cut the budgets for the caucuses, and let's play this hardline approach and make these hard decisions. And you do it very easily without justification. However, the same does not exist at the other end, right? You're not transparent. We're not being transparent about that process on the other end. Why we're justifying having a blanket approval of $132,000 for staff salaries with the intent, if we fundraise, to even raise that back up to maybe $175,000 and then continue to raise that up, right? Without any transparent process. How can you expect for the caucuses and the committees and everyone else to take this hit without justifying maintaining the status quo on the other end?
Hillary Stack.
Mike Stack.
Okay, we've got
Jody Stack. Okay. This is urgent. I have a meeting to go to at 7. If someone else will take minutes from now, from the, here, and then you'll need to end the recording. I don't think we're going to get past the recorded session because this call only has 3 more minutes. I can listen on mute, and I'll take the sheet along that tells me how to end the recording if you need. Okay, can someone else take minutes from now?
I think the recording ends if we all hang up.
Yeah, I think the recording will continue to go
okay.
on.
Yeah.
All right. So will someone take minutes then so I can get to this meeting? Fortunately, it's right next to my house because it starts at 7, which is 10 your time. So, okay? Thanks, everyone. Over and out.
Okay.
Bye, Jody.
So there are several people. So we have a proposal, but we have several people that wanted to talk. So we'll start.
Okay, I'm on.
Okay, now I don't recall who said what. But I think I heard Michael, I heard George, did I hear Gloria or Darlene again?
No, but I don't think we should go forward until somebody says they're taking minutes.
I know, but I wanted to hear who was next. So who is taking minutes?
What kind
I'm not
of minutes,
in a position to do that.
What kind of minutes need to be taken? I mean, obviously are we talking about what the discussion was or any final decisions?
I feel like maybe just the decisions.
Twinkle.
And so have we made any, right now it feels like we're essentially just doing information sharing where we're going through line by line and explaining what's what. I mean, I haven't
There's
heard any.
There's a proposal on the floor. There is
okay,
a proposal
guys,
on the floor.
Okay.
Guys, yeah, proposal on the floor, but we need minute takers. And then I've got you, Hillary, and then I have several others. And what I'm going to ask is we get the minute squared away, and then if you could get on the stack again, I have Hillary and then whoever else, and Hillary and Michael, I think.
I'm going to do my best to take notes.
Okay. So we have that. Hillary, I had you on the stack. Who else was after? And Michael, and who else?
Mike.
Was Mike? Okay. So I've got Hillary and Michael, and then we do keep in mind we've got a proposal. So go ahead, Hillary.
So I just want to put some perspective in this, you know, cutting staff versus cutting committees discussion, because I definitely see both sides of it. For the record, my version of the budget had a little deeper cuts to staff and not as deep cuts to committees. But at the end of the day, all of the committees combined, even at somewhat historic levels, is maybe $40,000, right? Which sounds like a lot of money, but compared to staffing, it's actually not that much. And so, you know, the unfortunate reality is that we could, you know, cutting the committees is small potatoes in the grand scheme of our budget. And so you know, staffing is just not the type of thing that you can just turn on and off quite easily. I mean, you know, these aren't contractors. These are regular salaried staff with benefits and PTO. I mean, laying people off costs us money. I mean, there's a lot of considerations. And so, you know, it is what it is. I mean, clearly we have gotten overextended in terms of our staffing. And we could all sit around and point fingers at people who have gone before and other things, and that doesn't really get us anywhere. So, you know, I just, it's unfortunate, but I think at the end of the day, if somebody's livelihood is on the table and is committed and it can be managed well and can actually produce 20, 30 plus hours a week of work, that is more valuable to the party than a great group of volunteers who are maybe doing, you know, 10 hours a month, which is what most of our committees do when they're high functioning. Over.
George Stack.
Hang on, I've got my microphone over. George.
Yeah, I agree with you, Hillary. And in the, you know, the justification of staff over volunteers, professionally, we need staff. I agree with that. But also in terms of tools, you know, we need to support that with literature, with publication, with outreach. How can we raise funds without being able to send out promotional literature? You know, this is a basic. And so my proposal is about publication and literature that Outreach Committee would work with the Steering Committee on and make available to the entire party. I don't think that that's saying we don't need staff. It's a drop in the bucket to say we want $3,600 to support our entire party. And I agree, you know, with the direction that we do need staff. We need to nurture that positively. Thank you.
Darlene Stack.
Okay, I've got, hang on. Sorry, I had Michael and then I had Darlene.
Yeah, thank you. So again, you know, I appreciate this discussion. I appreciate that you're raising these concerns, Darlene. We certainly need to, you know, have an open discussion. However, I take personal offense when you say things like this budget has a lack of transparency and hypocrisy. And you claim on this call that there are things like backdoor negotiations and shady things going on. So I just, because this is a recorded call for the National Committee, I want to say that I think that those claims are inappropriate. Also, I want to point out that perhaps a perception of lack of transparency, et cetera, is actually perhaps from another perspective, if one wants to swing to, you know, another extreme, which I don't, you know, think is fully the case. But at the same time, this budget process has been going on for months. Everyone on the steering committee was invited to make their own version of the budget, make comments on that document. I don't believe that you made any comments on budget documents. As far as why are we doing these things with staff, with particular committees, I, after one of our steering committee calls maybe 2 weeks ago or before that, in 24 hours I turned around about a 10-page document laying out the next 6 months for staffing committees. I asked and invited everyone on the steering committee to make comments. You did not make any comments on that. Regarding the staffing plan, staff had given us a document that had recommendations on it. Gloria and I took several hours out of our day to respond to that. It had been delayed on call after call, but regardless, it was in the Google Docs for everyone to comment on. And again, I may be mistaken, but I do not believe that you commented on that. So while I appreciate your current concerns and want us to continue that discussion, I would like you to walk back some of your statements about backdoor negotiations, shady things, lack of transparency, and hypocrisy, because it really feels like that's targeted at the people such as Hillary and myself that put a lot of work, hours of work, I mean many hours of work. I drove to Philadelphia several times to discuss with Hillary this budget because other people in the steering committee did not want to, you know, do that, and that's fine. But to your specific questions, why are we justifying no outreach and no caucus money? So firstly, my perspective on the justification for outreach, and so George said, how do we raise funds without sending promotional literature? I agree with part of that statement. I agree and fully support, and I believe on the last call when we talked about outreach making material offered to assist with finding design volunteers. Absolutely. Outreach needs to make literature. The entire party needs to support outreach in any committee that wants to design literature for it to be on the website. However, in my opinion, we don't have the funds for that to be printed and shipped to people. Potentially, that could be incorporated by the merchandise committee into things that we sell in bulk to states, but I don't believe, even if that were the case, to be in the purview of the outreach committee. As far as caucuses, as a member of the Lavender Caucus, the Youth Caucus, and the forming and hopefully soon accredited Disability Caucus, I absolutely agree that caucuses in their health, in their flourishing, is so important to this party in growing our membership and engagement. At the same time, all caucuses have a designated account, that have a designated link that they can use for fundraising. The Youth Caucus has been able to raise $2,500 from that. I believe the Lavender Caucus puts out occasional tweets and whatnot. I think that we've raised about maybe $600 or so. I think that there's some money as well in the Black Caucus account. So that is one of the reasons in the trajectory and the justification for why at this time in this budget there is no caucus allocation. Thank you.
George Stack.
Twinkle, Michael. Twinkle.
Hey, George, go ahead.
Yeah.
I believe I was
Michael.
Next, Holly.
Oh, you're right. I'm sorry. Okay, yeah, Darlene and then George. Sorry about that.
So the lack of transparency when you fail to document what people are being paid, that's a lack of transparency. When you fail to document that in a budget, whether past or present, and I understand that you're in the process of negotiating the terms of salaries, when you fail to document that in a budget, in any budget, doesn't matter if it's the Green Party of the United States, whether it's the Democratic Party, the Republican Party, whether it's any kind of private or public organization, that is a lack of transparency. When you fail to justify what people are getting paid and you fail to be able to produce outcomes as far as measuring productivity and product, that's a lack of transparency. When you're not able to review and evaluate your staff, that's a lack of transparency. And I do understand, Gloria, your point of view that there's a transition with steering committees and so forth, and there's a lot of new members right now who are trying very hard. I understand that. But it's still a lack of transparency. Now, to your issue of, yes, the caucuses can raise money. But part of the problem is, too, that whatever caucuses raise, the Green Party gets a kickback as well, right? When you say to your Green Party members and to the state that yes, we are going to justify the salaries of our working staff despite transparency, despite any work product, despite any evidence of what it is that they're doing or not doing, but yet it's okay that we're going to cut everything else out. You're demonstrating a lack of faith in your caucuses, in your people. And the caucuses may just say, listen, hey, you know, yeah, I understand that we have the right to fundraise, but you know what? Our GPUS steering committee or the Jeepers National is not supportive of us, right? And I've already heard that on different levels from different people. And this is why, you know, you're dealing with issues of oppression as it is within the Green Party, and then to slap them in the face and say, listen, you know, you're going to have to do what you can as a committee. You're going to have to do what you can as a caucus. You're going to have to do what you can as an outreach. That is a really, really negative, you know, message, right? You're asking people to volunteer, but yet you're not even showing them any kind of support, right? When I talk about shady stuff, Dennis, don't take it personal. Has nothing to do with you, as I stated. You're a new FC member, right? However, like Gloria stated, there is a history of how things have been done in the past and how it is that our staff and how it is the operations and the ongoings of the Green Party has been monitored or lack of. And because of all of this, this is why the Green Party cannot get their foot off the ground. Over.
Direct response.
Okay, I believe I have Dennis and then George.
Chris.
So to address some of those points, Darlene, yes, it, you know, the kickback of, I think it's, you know, 9 or 10% from the caucuses, totally understand, you know, that's frustrating. Members of the Youth Caucus are particularly frustrated about that as well. But, you know, that standard for all committees as well, that, you know, fundraising to special accounts, that's for processing fees and for administrative fees. And, you know, ultimately, you still get 90% of the money and thus doesn't negate that fundraising potential. And so I empathize with a lot of the things that you're saying as far as the documentation for staffing and whatnot. That's what many of us were working on or trying to work on for these past months. And I guess I'm asking, what exactly are you proposing that we do about this, Darlene? Like, stop the budget negotiations and stop the budget until we have all staffing sorted out? And if that's the case, then I want to ask you how you'd like to contribute to reconciling some of those things so that we can clean up some of those processes. I also disagree with kind of the perspective of you have to do what you can. I don't think that's the proper perspective to have. I think we're saying, you know, you can do a lot. Here's some of our plan and hopefully soon a strategic plan, and we're going to support you by finding other volunteers, by connecting you to different people, by hopefully supporting you with a communication platform like Slack, having staff assist you by sending out email. But support, I think this party should understand, because we don't often have much money relative to other parties and organizations of our kind, that support doesn't necessarily have to come in monetary form, especially when it doesn't align with our trajectory as far as not needing particular things printed that the outreach committee would produce, and since caucuses can raise their own money. Over.
Okay, I believe it was Chris on the call, Chris, and then Darlene was asked a question, and then
George,
reminder.
George on the staff.
Okay. I have George, and then I have Chris, and then it might be good to get back to Darlene, and then keep in mind that there's still a proposal out there. George, go ahead.
Yeah, Darlene, I give you credit for raising these issues, and certainly there's something in it in terms of where you come from. I think we've got a future here as a steering committee in terms of working with each other. And there are a lot of little pieces. You know, I'm the new kid on the block, but at the same time, we didn't have a meeting in New Jersey to orientate new members because of the problems there. All right? So, you know, what I am saying is that in the future, I want to see us take a list up that we use as a roadmap in terms of how we operate this budget coming up and how we review this budget. You know, a fiscal agent, as is being talked about in terms of 9 or 10%, has to do with an agency and an outside source, not an inside committee. I want to bring that up in the future. I don't want to talk about that anymore today, but that just doesn't make too much sense. We've got a lot of work. We've got things to do, and I don't want to be redundant, but if somebody could show me in this budget where printed materials are, where they can access the entire party, I'd like to hear that. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you, Gerda. Chris, and then getting back to the two questions. Chris, go ahead.
Yeah. So the reason that one of the reasons that everything's lumped is because that's what we were planning on talking about in an executive session. So that's why those are all lumped. That was the discussion that was planned to come later. We did talk salaries in the executive session somewhat recently when we dealt with equalizing a salary. So, we have had those conversations as well. And I completely agree with, we are a mess when it comes to our HR. That's 100% correct. But at this point, we didn't have them for a long time after we should have, and however lacking they are, we do have performance reviews for everybody to review. So, a lot of this we talked about, and then, the actual whittling down of how the money is dispersed, that was the plan for executive session. Over.
Okay, so we have two questions. Dennis, Michael, I'm not sure how much rhetorical yours were, but and maybe that's something to come up in executive session as well, I don't know. It might be good if you could succinctly restate that, but first if George could succinctly restate what he had asked, because that was raised first, and I think it sounded like something that could be discussed. You could go back and discuss that now if that works for you all.
Holly, are you asking me to restate proposal?
Yes,
my proposal, very specifically, is, and to make everybody aware, I have worked with the Outreach Committee since our meeting Sunday night. And the Outreach Committee, understanding everything, would be very happy to have $3,600 to work with. In terms of our entire party. And I don't want to repeat myself in terms of where is the printing in the budget. There are unique ideas. And at our last meeting, we also talked about setting up a process in terms of how literature is developed, approved, and also graphics. And, the Outreach Committee is willing to work, with volunteers. As it was established, we were steered toward that person who was on budget. So don't hold us to say we only want to work that way. We're willing to work with all of these things. And the proposal specifically is that for the 2018 budget, the Outreach Committee be granted a budget of $3,600 only.
Okay.
Thank you.
Okay. So do we want to take this up now? Would you guys like to address this issue right now? What's the preference?
Less of that.
Right now, please.
Right now? Okay, so go ahead. Who would like to address that? Or do you have any comments about it? I guess he's asking for this. So are any comments, questions?
Yeah, Hillary, check.
Hillary, go ahead.
So I don't know if I missed this before I got on the call, but George, where are you suggesting that money come from? Knowing that, let me just say
excuse me.
Okay,
let me raise this question, because that's a question to me.
Yeah.
We have not asked where other monies were coming from. But you're asking where the outreach committee, those funds should come from our general income.
Right, but
that's where they should come from.
Yes, okay, that I understand. But the total amount of money that we're submitting can't really change. Unless you're suggesting that we have a budget that's in deficit.
I am suggesting that at least our budget being increased by $3,600.
So you want to...
I understand budgets.
Increase the money.
Excuse me for talking out of line.
No, I'm just trying to understand. I mean, I assumed originally, maybe incorrectly, that you were saying instead of X, we should put $3,600 into outreach. which I'm more than happy to consider. I just wanted to know what the X was, but it sounded like instead you're just saying that we should add 3,600 to outreach and then have a budget that's that expenses outstrip projected revenue.
Direct response.
Okay, yeah, go ahead. Go ahead, George.
Yeah, I think that's a little of the meaning. I love you, Hillary. But I think that's a little of the meaning here. You know, as we talk about budget and what lines need to be increased or decreased to stay the same, you know, we're not talking, we can talk about how we can supplement this. I had never said that we need to take from there or that outreach needs to do that. It's basic in terms of that amount of money that we're asking for. And so if that means that at the end of the day, and we have less income than expenses, then we need to go back to income. And that's standard procedure in any budget work. Thank you.
Okay, so where are we? So my understanding is that your proposal here is to add $3,600 to this budget.
If that happens at the end of the day. You know, at the end of the day, we may take money away from somewhere else. I am not proposing taking money away from somewhere else. If at the end of the day, you know, we are $3,600 short, then it should go, then income should be increased. And that's nothing unusual. That's nothing outside of accounting. I'm an accounting major. I come from the dark side in corporate America. You know, and so this is not unusual in terms of what I'm proposing. Thank you.
So it's still
Andrea,
go ahead.
Okay, so we're supposed to be deciding on George's proposal via consensus. We're not at up or down vote yet, correct?
That's my understanding. I think
okay.
We can figure it out.
Okay, so it sounds like probably we ought to call for consensus on George's proposal.
What is it exactly? So, George, I just want yes or no answer. Is the proposal to add $36 to the budget or aim for that?
This proposal is to add $3,600 to the zero line of the outreach committee. Yes.
Okay. So that would be raising $3,600 more. Okay, I just wanted to be clear about it, too. So, okay, so... Yeah, we could call for consensus. Are there any further comments, concerns, blocking concerns, questions?
Andrea Stack?
Mike Stack.
And then Mike. Andrea, go ahead.
I have, with all due respect, I have a blocking concern because it's not clear where this $3,600 will be pulled from over.
Okay, Mike, go ahead.
George Stack.
Okay,
let Mike... Okay, Mike,
Darlene Stack.
Okay, George, and then I've got Mike and then Darlene.
I think Mike was before me.
I removed myself from Stack.
Okay, so George okay. And then Darlene. George?
Well, we have not established a budget yet. So what you're talking about, Andrea, doesn't fit here. Thank you. No budget has been established, and this is a proposal in the development of our 2018 budget. Thank you.
Okay, Darlene,
I agree with George's assessment. The reality is we don't know where all of this funding is going to come from because we're in a major deficit. So if you want to make the argument that, you know, you can't find $3,600, right, for, you know, outreach, well, you can also make the argument that you can't find, you know, $6,000 for ballot access, right? Why is it that you're making these preferences here? In my point of view, outreach is just as important as ballot access. So there are two different kind of forms of outreach. In addition to the media issues, in addition to merchandise, right? Who is it that gets to decide or prioritize which one is better than the other? Like who did that?
Hillary Stack.
And again, this is just a proposal, right? I want to say really quickly in response to Dennis's question, so what do you propose? I think that part of the problem is that everybody right now is very rigid in the sense of we need to get this done right now. I think that unless we're being transparent about all expenses, this budget really is not a functioning budget. And as far as Chris's comment, I totally get what you're saying, Chris. However, we started talking about union negotiations, right? And what was happening when Hillary met with and Gloria met with David Doonan and met with Scott. But there really was no real figures put out there. And if you're not going to put out projected figures, I can understand that because of the where we're at now. But you know what? I'd like to see, right, transparency as far as current figures go. There's no reason why that shouldn't be in the budget right now. That's lacking. Over.
Okay, so let's see. So Hillary, yes, go ahead.
So I guess just a couple of things. So one is that we get to decide, all of us together, what is most important. And so if we decide that outreach is more important than ballot access or equally important or whatever, like, that's fine. Like, I could totally live with a budget that gives some money to outreach and takes it out of the ballot access line. Like, that is simply, that is why I was asking the question of where the money would come from.
George Stack.
So I hear George's position that, you know, he would just rather add $3,600 to the budget. I would not, and I would say why. And that is because the income figure of $275 is already a little ambitious, and it's higher than what we're actually currently making. And so, yes, we can... we can budget for even more money, right? Like, you know, it's just numbers on a paper. But if there's no, like, realistic plan and there's no confidence that we're actually going to bring that money in, all we are doing is then going into our reserves and spending out and getting us closer and closer to the day that we literally have $0 in the budget. So I just want people to take a harder look at that actuals column, the the year-to-date slash projected, which at this point is pretty much just year-to-date since there's only two more weeks. Exit line 138, excess revenue over expenditures, $83,000. We cannot afford to keep doing that. The 2017 budget is a budget that is based on the concept of, well, let's just add more to the budget and we'll just raise it. Like, well, we didn't. So, like, I hear what you're saying, and it's just, I wish it were that easy. I am totally fine with taking money from somewhere else to give it to outreach. I think outreach should have some money. I just would like to, like, I think it would be helpful to get through the whole thing and get to the very bottom and then figure out where we can maybe shave some money to give outreach a few bucks. And I'm also happy to just email everyone with, I mean, I've mentioned people's salaries on executive session. I'm happy to give whatever figures people want. Like, it's not a secret.
Darlene Sack.
To that point, George.
I think Holly dropped off, so... I guess no one's taking a stack. So I am sorry. I heard Darlene and George, and I didn't hear which order.
To the point, please. George, to the point.
Yeah. Go right ahead, George.
What I am proposing is an increase of 1.3% of our budget.
Fair enough.
You know, and that's not much money. And again, it's standard procedures when you do budgets to work back and forth in terms of what you need to do. I am not proposing that we take money from anybody else. I'm not there politically. I'm proposing that at the end of the day that outreach have $3,600. And again, it's 1.3% of what we're talking about now. It may be less or more later on. Thank you.
Okay, sorry, I just got bumped off the call and got back on.
I think
so
Darlene was on stack now.
Yep. So,
go ahead,
it's not, Hillary, it's not about it being a secret. What I would like for it is for these figures to be public, to our Green Party members, to the NC, to anybody who wants to take a look at those figures, right? That's what transparency is about. So there's that. Two, if we only have five or six caucuses, why not be able to give each of them $500 a piece? That's not a lot of money either. In executive session, I've been hearing the argument of, well, you know, we plan on fundraising more money, and if we do and we have a successful fundraising effort and that there's these new initiatives going on, then yes, we'll be able to negotiate the salary, increased salaries or so forth of the staff, right? Again, this is a budget proposal. Why not $500 each for each caucus, right, or each committee? If you're able to do that on one end, negotiate, right, increases for staff and other expenditures, why can't you negotiate that for caucuses and committees aside from just going zero?
Gloria Stack. Andrea Stack.
Right. I've got Gloria, then Andrea.
Chris Stack.
So right now, I cannot support the proposal in the way George has presented it. And I also cannot support a proposal that Darlene says is like, let's agree to that instead of this. I don't support agreeing to any additional money. We can look at the budget 3 months into 2018, 2 months, 6 months, and we'd be allowed to present budget adjustments. When I will refuse to support anything that doesn't show that we've increased the small budget we're already, you know, trying to be able to maintain. So I just want to put that out there. But I'm totally down for a review in addition to all the extra work we need to do to fundraise and bring in revenue to look and see where we could give money back or add money when we have the money. Pass.
Okay,
so we can call the question on the proposal. I'm ready to call the question.
Okay.
I don't think we have to talk about it anymore. It's 10:30.
Okay. So according to, there's no more discussion on this. I guess the question then is, are we going to?
Well, wait a minute.
Call the question.
I'm on the track.
She said call the question. So the thing now is
That's a Robert's Rules of Order thing.
Call the question is you got to call the question.
But we don't, that's not in our procedure.
Let me just further explain myself. I just would like us to come to some, you know, are we just having a conversation back and forth where everybody's direct responding so we can have a debate, or are we going somewhere with this? Are we have to make a
decision?
We are.
Hang on. Okay.
I put this because that's why I'm on the stack, because we're in the middle of our consensus process,
okay.
And I have a block on the
floor. Okay, so Andrea, speak up, and then I think Gloria's right, then this is becoming kind of a circular talk. Then you can decide what you want to do, and then you can take up further after this conversation. Go ahead, Andrea.
Right, so thank you. My block stands. I do not feel that it has been sufficiently dealt with. You know, I have to say that the overall projected revenue that we have is coming as a result of calculations. Very, very quickly, I also want to say the other caucuses, the youth caucus, you know, they raise dues. They charge their members dues, and I'm a young at heart dues-paying member. So, I mean, I think maybe fundraising can help out Latinx caucus to do some dues or some fundraising or something like that. But, you know, I have to ask, and now I'm not going to ask, because so here's what I'm going to do. This block, I do not feel has been sufficiently addressed. It stands, and I would like the facilitator, because my block has not been sufficiently dealt with, that we actually go to a vote now. Thank you.
Chris, back.
Okay.
It's real short.
Okay.
So what our staff paid is public information. I'm looking at it right now on the FEC's website. If you go to the, and that's obviously not like a report from us and things like that, but it is all publicly you know, public information. When I couldn't find it in my notes, I went to the FEC and it's all there. Whether it's pay, how much we're paying in payroll taxes, how much we're paying in reimbursements and contract work and everything like that. So it is public information.
Let's move to a vote, please.
Yeah, so yes, let's go to a backup vote.
George Stack. George Stack.
Okay, one more and then we're going to go to a vote. Cause that's
thank you. You know, Gloria had the first block. Andrea's come through with the block. And it was positioned on the first block that I cannot approve a budget with this that increased. I just want to state that I cannot approve a budget down the line that doesn't allow for publication and that doesn't allow for outreach. And with that in mind, I'm not trying to be a bad guy here. We can move with consensus. But, I can play that same game. Thank you.
Okay,
now, guys, I'm sorry. Let's go on to we're going to need to vote in terms of this very basic proposal. Why not vote on this so we know, you know, where you're at? And then you can continue on this call.
The vote, please.
No, I'm sorry. Let's take the backup vote. That's how it generally goes, and they're right on this from my understanding. So that will tell you where you stand, and then you can pick it up and pick up the pieces and regroup later. So to have a vote on this proposal to add $3,600 to outreach. So just roll call. Andrea.
The question is to add the $3,600, right?
Yes.
So my vote is no.
Okay. Gloria.
Oh, sorry, I was on mute. No.
Okay. Michael.
No.
Okay. George. I'll come back to George. Darlene.
Yes.
Okay. Chris.
I'm sorry, I was on mute. George, yes.
Okay. Chris.
No.
Okay, so we've got one, two. Oh, Jody is not here. Hillary.
No.
Okay. So the no's have it. Let's see, 1, 2, 3, 4... 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 no's, 2 yeses.
Sorry, do I need to record in the minutes who voted for what or just the outcome?
Yeah, you do.
Okay, let me do that.
I always used to record who said what. Somebody did.
It's in the recording, too.
Got it. I can remember. It's not that hard.
So that's for now, and then you guys can continue to go on and pick up what negotiations happened with this. What is the preference now? There was another question. Do you want to talk about this further? There was another question asked of Darlene, or do you want to move on to the next portion of the call? What is the group's preference here?
That we continue line by line. We're about halfway.
Hi, oh, Jesus.
Darlene Stack.
Go ahead, Darlene.
So I agree with George. I think that there's a lot of stuff on this budget that is not, it's up for debate whether or not it should be approved, to be honest with you. So I'm going to have blocking concerns in the future as well. In regards to this need to approve a budget right now, I think that what's more important is that we get some, again, transparency here. Even though it's on the FCC, Chris, it needs to be included in our budget, right? So that the NC can see it, so that the Green Party members can see it, right? And this argument about union dues, well, GPIS doesn't pay union dues, right? Why aren't they paying union dues? You're allocating money that's raised by donors, not by GPIS union members. And because that's money that's allocated by donors, then it's up for scrutiny. Over.
Hillary Stack.
Okay, Hillary, go ahead.
So we can redo this budget so that line item at the bottom for salary is broken out person by person in the various lines, but that ties our hands. And so what happens is if a budget passes and there's $30,000 in there, and I'm just making up round numbers, for a fundraiser, and then we decide, based on our discussions with the union, that that's not how they want to, you know, either they or we, how we want to break up that salary money, what we're stuck with it, because that's the proposal that has passed the NC. And so, you know, all of these calls for greater scrutiny of our staff and higher accountability and work product and reviews, you know, that may, like, I'm hoping and assuming all of that happens. And it may be that 4 months from now, we want to make changes in personnel because maybe we'll finally have a process for holding people accountable and, you know, asking that things get done. And if things don't get done, then, you know, we part ways. We can't easily do that if we're held into specific positions and specific amounts. And given, you know, and that, so that's just like the crass look. I would say the other look at it is that, you know, even if we lost someone in a position, it's not that we would necessarily want to replace that position. You know, we're in a situation where we are drastically reducing staff capacity, and everyone realizes it's an all-hands-on-deck kind of situation. So it's, I think what we might actually wind up negotiating with the union is not so much that we will have, quote-unquote, a fundraiser and, quote-unquote, a media director. It's more that we have these 20 different buckets of work that have to get done. Who's taking what pieces now? And so, again, you know, we can lay it all out there for transparency's sake, and my hope might be even that once we, you know, I don't know what to say, but I think that putting the salary in line item by line item ties our hands in ways that does not give us any flexibility throughout the rest of the year. Over.
Point of clarification. This is George.
Okay, George, go ahead.
Thank you, Hillary, and I appreciate where you're coming from. You know, are we in executive session right now?
No.
Okay. We've had previous discussions, and I would hold this for executive session, which may have us look at the budget differently. Thank you.
Okay. Other comments? So what would be the preference now?
Continue going through line by line.
Okay, let's continue. Go ahead.
Is that okay? Well, Andrea Stack.
Sounds like people are okay with it. Let's go ahead then. Michael, go ahead.
Yeah, I'm good.
All right. So we are now at line 76, which is diversity committee. So we will go line 76 to 78. That's kind of a chunk. So the travel and lodging scholarships for...
George Stack, I'd like to back up.
Okay, George, go
George
ahead.
George Stack.
Okay, go ahead.
Yeah, we skipped over advertising. And line 72 in terms of ongoing social media. We all know that that's very important. And me at 72 years old, I understand that that's very important. I would ask that we consider putting some money in social media. Yeah, and other people are more well apprised in terms of the possibilities and costs. But I really urge us to do that. Thank you.
Andrea,
go ahead.
All right, because I'm kind of feeling like there's not going to be an offset suggestion coming up, then, you know, to tack on to what sounds like a sort of proposal from George for ongoing social media, I propose that we take $1,000 from the graphic designer to put it into the advertising for social media. Over.
Okay.
Mike, direct response.
Mike, go ahead.
There is no money in the graphic design budget put into advertising for social media. Over.
Yep, sorry. I see that. Sorry about that. I was looking at the wrong column.
George Stack.
George, go ahead.
Yeah, and family, you know, I don't want you to feel negative about me. You know, some of this procedural stuff as we go forward is assume that we have agreed to a bottom line budget. We have not done that. And I would hope that we would go forward with an open mind. Thank you.
Okay.
Andrea,
go ahead.
Well, the only place for us to take money out of is going to be through the fundraising area. You know, there is the printing and mail prep cost, line 31, that we probably could take $1,000 from. So I'm going to put that out there. But, I just have to say, I just need to underscore again that this budget has been discussed. We did have an opportunity to chime in, and we agreed by consensus that this dollar figure at the end of the budget was what we were going to run with. So
to that point, George.
Here we are. And we have an opportunity at the end of this call, I guess, to make a, we're going to have to decide whether or not to advance this budget forward to the NC. So, I mean, I would just encourage folks to just use the procedures. Thank you. Over.
Okay, so to the point, George. And then, yeah, George, go ahead.
When did we approve the bottom line budget? When did we do that? We haven't.
Lori, go ahead.
Thank you.
So I don't know that we have, quite frankly. I mean, I totally hear your point, George. Like, you're saying, like, why do we have to stick to this number? Why can't we inch it up a little bit more? And I think we can. I don't think we should. I will just say that the FinCom, the Finance Committee, who is tasked with this as, you know, at least the primary initial suggestors of a budget, feel very strongly, you know, all 10 members with long financial experience in the party, that we should have a balanced budget and that we should not be running a deficit. That, you know, but as you all are noticing, as people who have finally started and looked at this for the first time, this is painful. Like, this is the tough stuff that we have, you know, Mike and I, for the most part, Mike and I, Daryl here and there, have been dealing with for the last 2 months. Like, this is awful, like, what we are doing, and it sucks for all of us. But it is what it is. I mean, I just want to say fundraising income is hovering in the $18,000 to $19,000 a month range. The revenue projections in this budget are more than that, because we couldn't bring ourselves to cut any further. So it's not like we don't, you know, I get where you're coming from and I share your sentiment. Like, there's only so much we can do and, you know, just not be completely draconian. But, like, it's hard to make the case to just, you know, add on $3,600 here, add on $500 per caucus there. Like, that's another $6,000. You know, like, we could do that line by line. And, you know, we'd be back where we started. So, like, I have, again, I just want to say I have no problem with giving the money to any of these
things. Point.
It just has to come, it has to come from somewhere else.
To that point, please.
Yeah.
Okay, George, go ahead.
You know, I have served on finance committees of three national organizations. You know, I understand that it's a back and forth process. I first saw this budget Sunday night when you forwarded to me. And Hillary, I thank you and Mike for all your work. You know, I don't see in our bylaws or articles that we have to do this or that. As I understand, as I have worked with hundreds of organizations on budgets, we can work back and forth. The resistance to working back and forth astounds me. There's no time schedule here in terms of we have to approve this by this time. The time schedule is us working with each other, you know. And so I just want to let you know, please don't assume that I don't understand things. I do understand things. And what I'm saying is that, yeah, the bottom line of our total budget, when we're talking about things so critical. You know, it's like taking the heart out of us. We can't do outreach. We can't do social media. Can we lose another couple hundred thousand members instead of gaining a couple hundred thousand members? you know, I'll be passionate about this, but I just want you to understand. I understand what you're saying. In some fashions, I disagree. Thank you.
Okay, so.
Mike's back.
Mike, go ahead.
I definitely understand the concern and desire to have social media advertising. That definitely was one of the things that was hardest for me to cut. Anyone on the media committee list knows that I'm one of the people pushing hardest for social media and to change our media strategy toward social media. I think what we have going currently on the media committee is starting to get the ball rolling towards people participating via social media, participating by making videos. Hopefully that momentum will continue and thus engage more people and bring more people into our volunteer page and hopefully donation page as well. In this current context, I don't think that's a $1,000 for social media advertising, which to be more specific would be ad buys on Twitter and Facebook, are actually all that worth it. One, because unfortunately at this point we don't really have an overall coordinated social media strategy. We are getting there. We have some awesome volunteers that if they are listening to this call, we deeply appreciate them. But we don't necessarily have a coordinated team and strategy where I think we would have particular posts where boosting them, is the terminology, would actually be helpful. And also, because we would only be allocating $1,000 instead of a larger spend, it actually could be harmful insofar as once an account starts to boost items on social media, essentially, you know, paying for a larger reach, that then deflates the natural reach of all of your other posts. So while this $1,000, if we were to add it back, might get us, you know, one really good post boost a month, say, all of the other posts that month would drop. So effectively, once you start boosting things on a regular basis, it kind of puts you into that vicious cycle of, you know, Facebook and Twitter making you pay. Over.
Darlene Stack.
Hey, Darlene.
So the other thing that this budget does not do is it doesn't take into account marketing of the party. And marketing has to do not only with social media, but it has to do with image. It has to do with outreach and all of those things, you know, merchandise and all of those things work together, you know, collaboratively. This budget does not allow for any of that at all. And I'm aware as well, before I changed as a liaison for the outreach committee, that they were working on trying to reinvent the image of the party, you know, logos, the green vision, so to speak. And really what you've done with this budget is you've kind of pulled that activity or pulled the rug or the carpet out underneath them. Over.
Mike, go ahead.
So, you know, this budget certainly does deal with merchandise. Chris articulated some of the new strategies that the merchandise committee hopes to take in 2018. There is a small budget for advertising for merchandise, as merchandise is something that, you know, directly is going to impact our bottom line. I certainly understand that perspective. I hope that's not, you know, the feeling of outreach. I think that we certainly, the entire party is grateful and support any kind of design work that they are doing. But as many of the committees are going to have to do and what we need to establish and as a culture in our party is that work, that branding work, et cetera, takes the form of volunteerism. And so, for example, right now the fundraising committee has found some design volunteers and we are engaging them to design using our current branding, which absolutely, you know, let's get some volunteers to update it, but engaging volunteers to make potential sticker designs that we could use for fundraising and potentially for merchandise. So we appreciate that work, and it would just be continued on as, you know, volunteer designers, which we have about 800 of in our database with that tag. Over.
Okay. It's sounding like there may be somewhat of an impasse over some things that you would probably want to go back and redo, but for now, and given the time, might be good just to forge ahead and get through the rest of the line items, and then that will give people a basis to go back maybe and see where they all want to continue to tweak or advocate. So unless there's any further ado, maybe continue with that.
Okay. So we had gone over 70 to 75. I know the discussion did primarily take the form of outreach and caucus. So I'm glad that we, you know, paused and took that time to also address advertising. But moving forward with the line 75 to, or rather 76 to 78, which are some of the diversity committee sub-items. So what remains intact is the travel and lodging scholarships for the annual national meeting.
Hearing no questions.
Okay, moving on to the next kind of chunk of lines, which are generally media lines. So starting at 79, the media committee, and going to, let's say, line 85. Most of those lines are also similarly zeroed out. Oh, and actually, there is that $2,000 for media committee in line H20, and the intent of that, I thought that we had somewhere for social media advertising in here, and so I believe that's the intent of column H, line 80. In 82, we retain the $300 for our standard GEDY list, or GEDDY list, that Scott and David use for sending out our press releases and making press contacts.
Any questions about that? If not, let's continue.
Okay, so taking the next chunk under governance, which is largely about the annual national meeting, so lines or rows 88 through 93, some of the expenses for the annual national meeting, some of the technical equipment is cut. We still have support for, of course, the venue and someone to provide AV support as needed. Of course, we retain the ability to get our staff to travel there and have that per diem to be there.
Okay. Hillary Stack.
Go ahead, Hillary.
So two things.
George.
I'm realizing that the... I don't think neither one of us ever updated this line 90 because it's based on 4 staff when we presumed we might be cutting someone. And if we're not, then again, it doesn't have to be that all 4 or 5 staff come to the annual meeting. So I just note that. And then the other thing that people should know just based on history is that to some degree, this section is a little... you know, just made up. Historically, the annual meeting has been sort of off budget and budget neutral. And so, you know, we could have a placeholder in here for $20,000, $10,000. We typically only, you know, we spend for the annual meeting based on the revenue that comes in from the meeting in the form of registration sales. However, this is the first year that the revenue of the A&M and the expense of the A&M are not equal. Where, you know, the revenue we're projecting at $15,000 and the expense at $12,500, really all we need to know is that we're expecting the annual meeting to make $2,500.
Okay. Any further information or questions about that? not, we can continue.
I believe it wasn't George on stack, or did Hillary address the question, George?
Yes, I was. And
oh, George.
I was. That's okay. I was. Hillary and Michael, thank you for your explanations. You answered my question. Pass.
Oh, okay.
Wonderful.
Okay, go ahead.
So moving on to the next chunk, lines 95 to 99, which effectively addresses we as the steering committee and our expenses at the annual national meeting. So we retain the cost in line 96 for all of us to have about $500 to get there, but our meals and lodging are no longer included, so we would be providing that for ourselves, just like anyone else who attends the annual national meeting. Over.
Any questions? Hearing none, continue.
So the next line item is, the next group is international stuff. So lines 101 to 105. So we retain our Global Greens membership dues. Unfortunately, in this budget situation, we cut all committee, all international committee travel, which is typically the stipend to go to the Global Greens meeting. And over.
Any questions for that? Hearing none, continue.
Okay.
I'm sorry, somebody said something?
That
was me, Andrea.
Okay, go ahead.
Sorry, I propose that we eliminate the dollar amount for the Global Greens membership. Over.
Okay. Do you want to consider this right now? If so,
Hillary Staff.
Comments. Hillary, go ahead.
Yeah, I'd like to. Yes.
So I had a offline conversation with Ahmed, one of the co-chairs of the International Committee, about whether or not, what he would think if we essentially cut these numbers down to nothing. And he actually wasn't that upset by the prospect of not paying dues. I mean, he seemed pretty, not emotionally committed to continuing our membership in FPVA. And then he was like, Global Greens, he was sort of, I think, the reason I retained 350 was that he seemed to want to at least pay the dues this year and engage with them a little further online, but not necessarily go to the meeting. In the spirit of trying to keep something in the budget, that's what I had put in, but I think we could eliminate it and be fine and put that 350 somewhere else.
George Stack.
George, go ahead.
Good, and thank you, Hillary. And I'm glad that you did that. In terms of that minimal 350 in a token basis, I would agree with that. Also, in terms of representation, there are many of us who travel internationally, and I would be a part of that to make our connections, I think, on the committee. There are folks who would be there irregardless of subsidy. Thank you.
Andrea,
go ahead.
Yeah, I actually would expand my proposal to go to include line 103 to eliminate the $200 as well. And then that sets up, the $6,000 for travel. That puts that at question. I mean, if we're not paying memberships, maybe that needs to be a separate a proposal. But, I have to say, quite honestly, I every single year I keep looking for value in these memberships, and I don't see them. And what I do see is Greens who are of means use these as vacations, right? And then they go and, supposedly speaking on behalf of GPUS, but they don't, they're not really, and, I don't see any big coalitions coming out of this. I know that this year there was a proposal that was forwarded,
you know, well, thankfully enough, I mean, it, you know, they included the Colorado Latinx Caucus statement on DACA, which, you know, I don't know what happened with that. And, you know, but that's really the first time I've ever seen any kind of policy proposals being moved or anything. I just don't see this as an advantageous sort of relationship. And on top of it, you know, the politics of many of the parties in those coalitions, they're not like ours. So, you know, this keeps being a boondoggle kind of a thing for no real return on investment. And, you know, I would much rather, and I keep saying this, I would much rather form coalitions around leftist parties here in the Americas, because they're not part of FPVA. So I actually would call those three line items into question in my proposal. Then I want to expand to eliminate the budget for all of those three line items. That would be 102, 103, or 104.
There's
over.
Nothing in 103 and 104. You're looking in the wrong column.
Okay, sorry.
Look in the
okay,
eight.
Sorry. Yeah, I keep doing that. I'm sorry. So I just mean 102. Over.
Okay. George is on the staff.
George Stack.
Okay, and then yeah. There is a question. So George, go ahead.
No, I appreciate your statement and how you juxtaposed it, Andrea. For those of us who are on the ground and having been a member of the International Committee for more than a decade, you know, the International Committee is saying, skip 103, you know, skip 104, you know, let's sort a little bit in terms of the global network. It's a little bit. And, you know, I'm the odd person out in terms of what's been suggested and what should be. And we might put it to the International Committee to raise that money. But it's to me, it's important that we are connected with the 43 other green parties on this earth, and however that goes. So if it doesn't come in here as liaison for the International Committee, I will work toward raising that money within the committee. Thank you.
Just for the record, I'm also a member of the IC. Over.
So there's a proposal, I guess. How would you like to do this? Do you consent on just eliminating that $350 in line 102? Are there any blocking questions? Mike?
I guess I would just say I'm generally in favor of keeping the $350. I share a lot of the political concerns that Andrea expressed. I guess I would support the $350 with the hope, or perhaps the FC providing direction that the International Committee and those who are working globally with the Global Greens perhaps begin to pursue what it looks like to have an informal caucus with other Global Green parties who do have a more intentional leftist slant to them. And so that we still kind of have that political direction that Andrea articulated, but we give it a go, you know, this year, see what happens for $350 inside of the Global Green, and then reassess next year. Over.
So it sounds like, so what do people feel about that proposal? It sounds like that you may need to go to a backup vote.
So it sounds like, is that a blocking? Because my proposal is that we eliminate that line item.
Then,
so
yes,
my question
to
Mike is whether or not that was a blocking concern.
Sounds like there should be a backup vote then. Anybody else have any comments before going to a vote? If not, why not go ahead now? I'll do a roll call.
Well, wait a minute. Was that a blocking concern?
You said yes.
Yes.
Okay, I didn't hear that. So then, of course, in consensus, you know, do you feel like there's a way that I can amend my proposal to help you come along so that we can consent together on my proposal?
I mean, I guess kind of my middle ground, what I somewhat articulated, is that we keep it in the budget, but kind of tie with it some intentional directions to the International Committee that address some of your kind of political directions that I agree with. So I guess that would be kind of where my consensus would fall for that.
George Stack.
Hang on, Andrea first and then George.
Okay.
Background noise. Can everybody mute this background noise? Thank you.
Okay, Andrea, go ahead.
Okay, I think the liaison is George to the IC, right?
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay. So if I can hear that commitment that we're going to do just as Mike articulated, then I can withdraw my block or my proposal altogether, and we can just proceed. So can I get that commitment?
George Stack.
George, go ahead.
Yes. That's only national in terms of organizing, you know. But yes, thank you.
Okay.
Okay, I withdraw my proposal. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you, Beth.
Thanks. Sounds like that is concluded then. So I guess any other? Well, I guess we considered everything else. We continue. I guess. Not much further to go, guys.
All right. So now we're at line 107, operations overhead. So the first couple lines are all staff. Again, that's moved to the bottom of the budget. Line 112 is the healthcare expense with the predetermined amount that we've already agreed to, with the presumption that we maintain five staff. 113 and 114 are also staffing lines. So that more or less puts us at line 115. And let's take
George back.
George, go ahead.
Yes, George.
Yeah, and thank you, Michael, and thanks for moving this along. In previous discussions, and I really deferred in terms of having an office, and I see a budget line for an office here, and you were leading us on that. What's the thinking of or the limitations legally in terms of having that in the line? Thanks, Michael. Rent.
Yeah. So line 115 is rent. It's kind of similar to utilities and line 17, which is phone DSL. So while I was the person that was advocating against the office after some further discussions, I think that Daryl's proposal is reasonable of a, I think it's like, what, $350 a month or something rent. In southeastern part of D.C., so it's more so in a frontline community. We'd be renting space from another community organization. Presumably then that means that we don't have to directly pay any utilities or whatnot in line 116 or line 117. And what at least I've been told is that we would not be signing a lease on that either. So if we needed to stop, if we needed to move locations, et cetera, that would presumably be possible within a month. Over.
Hillary Stack.
Hillary, go ahead.
So I just wanted to put a reality check on this line item. My budget had the $350 a month plus $500 bucks for moving, and that came out to $4,300. This $2,000, which was Mike's budget, was my understanding was for a storage space. So I would love for us to do that $350 a month deal in Southeast DC, but we don't have enough money for that. Plus, given that it's December 13th, I don't know how quickly we can actually get out of our current office, and we would probably need to budget for at least January, and our current space is $925 a month. So I'm happy to try to make it work, but we have to find probably close to $3,000 from some other space, from other
Mike Stack. Okay. My apologies. I didn't realize that incarnation of my budget was the one that we were utilizing at the moment. What I would propose, if we need to come up with a little bit more money to keep some form of office, is that we take an additional $2,000 from the media committee line on line 79, which presumably was intended to be the line for social media advertising, and I've already articulated some of the downfalls of a small social media advertising budget, in that I think there's some other things that we need to do on the media committee perhaps first. So I guess that's where I would say we can sacrifice that $2,000 if needed. Over.
Okay. Any further comments on that?
Hillary Stack.
Hillary, go ahead.
So I'm looking at the media committee's proposed budget, and yes, it was a chunk of it was for advertising. There was also for money for video production. It wasn't just advertising, but I can live with Mike's proposal.
Okay. Any further questions? If not, we'll continue.
Is she home?
Go ahead.
Oh, she's home.
Okay. So that moves us down to line 119, GQS server. I don't know a lot of information about this, but that is the pair network that all of our email accounts in this room are on. So that stays pretty much constant. Similarly for Nation Builder, that expense stays pretty much constant with a little bit of wiggle room for hopefully an expansion of our email list. ECWID is apparently the online store services.
Equid, yes, is how we what we say.
Okay, all right. Similarly, our PayPal services stay approximately the same. So really our next drop that's potentially a discussion item is the IT development line in 125, which is being cut from $10,000 to $5,000. And I'll just pause in case there's concerns or questions there.
Any questions about this?
Andrea Stack.
Andrea, go ahead.
This line item, 125, line 125 of $5,000, assumes that we're at what place with this elections database? At what stage are we? Over.
Hillary Stack? So by the end of December, theoretically, phase two will be complete. There is a phase three proposal, which I think would eat up this entire budget. So I don't know that we'll move forward with phase three at all or if it can even be further chunked out. My sense is that this $5,000 is TBD, that we don't know exactly how, which priority will rule the day, but that the money is, we've had serious priorities and things that come up, both in terms of the voting software upgrades and the elections database, and also, Mike wants to do Nation Builder add-ons and various other things that are neither the voting software or the elections database. So I think it's for us to decide at a later date when more detailed proposals come in.
Okay, thank you.
George Stack.
George, go ahead.
Within IT development, and we have current vendors, right? I'm asking the question.
Yes.
Yeah, has there been a real evaluation of the effectiveness of the vendors that we have? And I just asked that question, and I won't have any other discussion on it, but I want to know that. Thank you.
No, not really, but I don't know that any of us have the capacity to do it.
Andrea,
go ahead.
Yeah, so Nation Builder is what our website is based on and the way we manage our data. The voting software is what we vote on with the national committee. The elections database is this other piece that's been under development. To help the apportionment committee and CCC have a piece of this and all that other stuff. So, whether or not we've evaluated these things, these are ongoing tools that we've been using. And, it would be nice to get away from Nation Builder, but that's what we have right now. We'd need something developed, and that would be thousands and thousands and thousands of dollars over.
To that point, that wasn't the vendor I was questioning, and I'll save it for another time. Thank you. Okay. I do question one of our vendors. Thank you.
Okay. Any no further questions? Sounds like we can continue.
Moving on, starting at line 126. So this is just various miscellaneous office supplies. 128, general liability insurance, stays similar. Electronic payment processing fees is a kind of generically calculated, I believe that cell might even be an automatically determined amount based on what our projected income is. I'll just open all of those lines, 126 to 130, for questions.
Gloria Stack.
Gloria, go ahead.
Just a question on the liability. Is that for individuals? Is that for our office space or events? Or it covers everything?
Hillary Stack.
Go ahead, Hillary.
So from what I can tell, we have two different, let me open up the budget here of what I've actually paid. We definitely pay event insurance for the annual meeting. I don't know. I just have two payments here to the Hartford for general liability insurance that I think covers 6 months at a time. I could dig up the invoices and see if they are more specific.
But the only event we do is the A&M.
Pretty much, yeah. The A&M insurance is like 100. We pay extra for that, and it's like $120. It's not a lot, but I think we have just general insurance for everything that we might do. I mean, I don't know. I mean, these are sort of bills that I inherited and paid, but let me dig them up because I can.
I mean, I don't want to take a lot of time, but we may be paying for something we don't really have to pay for.
That's true. Let's see. I just paid a bill for $425 to the Hartford, bill date of October 30th. It doesn't actually say what we're getting. it just says policy type business owners, full pay.
I'm a stack. I have a point of information on that.
I'm sure you know, because I have absolutely no idea what this is for.
Okay. Tama, why not?
I think that's all the general liabilities insurances that we have to pay, like for office and et cetera. So you may want to check, because if we don't have an office, we may not have to pay all of that.
Right.
But I'm not sure. It also seems in the back of my mind that it might include the workers' comp insurance. Which
no,
we would have. It doesn't? Okay.
I think those come separately, and most of it's
it does.
Okay. Pay. Yeah.
I wasn't sure on that. And the A&M insurance I thought was $300 for the event, and it's built into the A&M budget, so it wouldn't be where you got it. We build everything into the A&M budget.
Yeah, the A&M insurance was separate, and that was in the A&M budget. And it was only this year it was only $100 some bucks.
I think it depends on where it is and everything.
Yeah.
Okay.
157, special event liability policy.
Right. So we may be paying for something we don't have to. That's all I'm raising.
I will check on it.
Andrea Stack.
Andrea, go ahead.
Yeah, I mean, since we're speaking of liability insurance, it's I forget what the disposition was as far as errors and omissions and that sort of thing. I think somebody said there wasn't an insurance policy for that. I don't recall what that disposition was. If someone does remember, because, I don't want to be sued personally, so I'll just put
point
that
of
out
information.
There.
Thomas, that point of information on that.
Okay, Andrea, finish, and then Thomas.
I am finished, thank you.
Okay, Thomas, go ahead.
I do know about that. We talked with an attorney some time ago, Phil Huckleberry, and some of us on the steering committee at that time, and they there was no recommendation for that kind of insurance because of a political party is a different animal from a nonprofit, and apparently we sued or something. There's we discussed this, and we discussed it a couple of years ago because we went back
to the original correspondence with the company and with an attorney that we didn't need it for whatever reason. So I agree. I was worried about it too at one point, Gloria. So, but there have been some opinions on that we don't need it and that we can't even get it because there's not anything available for our type of organization. Over.
Andrea's back.
Andrea, go ahead.
Yeah, I mean, I guess I would, you know, we don't have the money at this juncture. I would like to put a sticky note, virtual sticky note onto this conversation, though, is that for us to start building up a legal fund and keeping that in reserve, because we do have ongoing intermittent needs for legal stuff. You know, we had the trademark stuff last year. Thankfully, Luann helped us out with that. Yeah, or I guess maybe it was getting on for 2 years ago. You know, even recently, you know, there's been kind of like, you know, weirdness about the stuff with the recount and, you know, all of that stuff like that. So we need to start having some sort of a fund available to pay for legal work that we need intermittently done. Over.
Mike's back.
Mike, go ahead.
Just on that note, I was looking at the DNC and the RNC a couple weeks ago, and I believe that as a political party, similar to how we have the Green Senatorial Campaign and whatnot set up as a separate account, I believe we could set up a separate legal account as well, and I think that we could also set up a separate account for kind of like office or something. At least that seems to be what others do, which is not to say that we should necessarily do that, but once we get to that point, it seems that that could be an option. Over.
George on the stack.
George, okay, go ahead.
Thank you. In terms of what you were bringing up, Tama, you know, and I don't know if that was board and staff liability. And I'm not particular as to whether it applies for political parties, but for all nonprofits, for us as a steering committee, we have liability to the federal government in that we have employees. And so if we don't have that insurance, we have to have that insurance. It's board and staff liability in terms of obligation for paying withholding taxes and also for fraud by board members or staff. And too many times I've been involved with organizations around the country who ran up against this. So this is something that's very important. I hope that we clarify as to whether or not we need it, and if we need it, then we do it immediately. Thank you.
Any further comments? If not,
we did clarify that, George. That was clarified that we couldn't. We have what we need for staff, like workers' comp and that kind of thing. So anyway, I'm just going by what we did in the steering committee a while back. We did clarify that we did. Over.
Okay. I'm getting weird buzzing and stuff. But anyway, is there no further questions?
It's so late. Can we wrap this up?
Yeah, I was going to say there's not much more. If Mike maybe could go through just the final things, and then you could continue to take up what's needed.
Yep.
Sorry, 11:30 Eastern time.
Now we've made it to the bottom of all the individualized expenses. Line 133 is the total salary cost, which we, I believe, agreed to by consensus in our executive session. On Sunday night, line 134 is the presumed and automatically calculated payroll for that amount and the payroll processing, which brings us to the bottom of the total expenditures. And so at this point, I'm just going to pause and see what other questions and concerns there are before I put a proposal on the floor that we consent on this budget. Over.
Darlene Stack.
Hey, Darlene.
So I have a question for Hillary. I'm looking at the 2017 budget for salary, payroll, taxes, fees, right? And the amended 2016 budget brings you to $184,579, but then the year-to-date projected is that 333 figure. Is that what was actually paid out already this year?
So line 136 is the money all across the whole budget, not just salary.
Okay.
But yes, that is money that is almost all has been paid out already or has been authorized, and I'm expecting it to be paid out in the next couple of weeks.
So because next to it, in the comments section, it says salary, payroll, taxes, fees, and health care, right? So and then it says 62%. Is that primarily, like, do you have it broken up as to how much of the budget is going towards salary, insurance?
Yeah, so that wasn't actually in this template that I inherited, so I just added. So if you look at line 141, so these are just sort of some little notes off to the side, basically. Line 141 is the three lines of like the salary, payroll processing, plus the healthcare. So the total staff cost in this budget is 171, so 170,894. And I think, and again, there was never really place for just a total budget because line 136 subtracts the fundraising costs. And so if you do 170,894 divided by 274, which is the total amount of expenditures total, this basically the staff is 62% of the budget. So yes, that 62% is accurate.
Right, but when you're looking at the numbers of perhaps, I see that number 157, but here 175 and 274, it almost seems like $100,000 difference. These figures are supposed to change. So you would say, would it be a fair assessment to say that two-thirds of our budget goes to just the salary and benefit expenses?
I mean, so just so you know, the notes, the column J for 136 is only relevant to the 2018. I don't know what the percentage is, probably not exactly 62% for the other years, so I could try to calculate it. But yeah, it's not quite two-thirds, but it's close. It's 62%.
Right, and if those figures change because of this expected increase in fundraising, it's fair to say that it's probably going to go up to two-thirds, right? That our budget, two-thirds of our budget goes to paying for salary, and then it seems to me like there was a major increase there by almost $150,000 from what we used to pay to what we're paying now, right?
For where? Which line?
So I'm looking at, the difference here, because I'm looking at 2016 budget, right, at 18457, and then you're over here at 231522. There's a $150,000 increase there. Would you say that the majority of that increase has to do with salary, payroll, health benefits, and all of that?
I mean, probably. I haven't gone line item by line item to look, so I'm not sure. But as I skim down, and in the 2016 budget, the salaries were broken out. I mean, yeah, like, it's very clear that salaries dramatically increased this year. I mean, we went from... And I put this in the narrative that, you know, I think a year and a half ago, we had 2.75 FTE, and now we're at 4.5. So, like, you know, and one person got a raise. So, like, plus we're doing healthcare. So, you know, yeah, I mean, the salary chunk is big, yeah.
But it went up dramatically, it seems, right? And in addition to benefits and everything else, and it almost seems like it's two-thirds of the salary, two-thirds of our budget, right? Is that am I reading this correctly? I mean, that's what I'm.
Yes,
that's what
yes,
it sounds
you are.
Like to me. Hmm.
Yeah, I mean, okay. I think it's not uncommon for most organizations to have a heavy chunk of their budget be staffing, but yeah, that's what we're looking at. I think so. But to one other point that you made, though. Because it was clear from our last steering committee call that people were not comfortable with the tier projections with 2 and 3. those are eliminated. So there is nothing, like the comment about if fundraising increases, that's TBA, like how we use that new money. There's nothing in here anymore about a Tier 2 or a Tier 3.
Andrea, go ahead. Yeah, just very quickly, no one has made any commitment that just because we get more money, that the staff get more money as well.
Over. Darlene Sack?
Darlene, go ahead.
So when you don't have negotiated salaries or reflected in the budget, then everything is negotiable. And so it could be more money, particularly if there's more fundraising. This is why I'm talking about transparency.
Andrea Sack. Andrea, go ahead. It sounds like you're saying that if we get one more dollar in fundraising than is projected here, that $1 automatically goes to increase salaries. And we're not saying that.
No, I think Hillary is saying the opposite.
If I could finish. And then Darlene. We haven't decided that. That's not been a proposal. And so what we're trying to do is to approve this budget the way it stands. As Hillary said, if we get more money in, that's to be determined. We could decide we want to pursue ballot access in some crazy place, right? I mean, we haven't decided any of that stuff. Over. Darlene?
First of all, Andrea, I would appreciate that you don't put words in my mouth and allow me to speak for myself.
That's why I said it sounds like.
Well, that's a leading statement, it sounds like. Instead of asking a question would be more preferable. What I'm saying to you is when you don't have an actual salary depicted in a budget, it's always negotiable. So, you know, unless you were to say, okay, so right now we have approved $132,000 bottom line and we're going to divide that by five, right? Or whatever
no.
the amount of paid staff is. That's right. You're not doing that. That's my point. You're not doing that. And because you're not doing that, it's always negotiable and that figure is going to change. It's not a static figure.
Hillary Sack.
Okay.
So we are in negotiations with our staff union. So, yes, things are negotiable. The latest agreement we have made is to keep that line static based on the revenue projections. Let us hope that we get to the point where we have to have this conversation again because we have so much money coming in. So for right now, we are in ongoing negotiations about how that 132 will get actually divided among the five staff. That is TBA. And for the purposes of this budget, that is all we need at the moment. And we will continue to have conversations in executive session about how we think that 132 should be spent and what that staffing structure should look like and what those exact line items, person by person, position by position, should be. And that will be the work that we continue to do with ongoing union negotiations.
Okay, George?
Yes. And I said this previously, and I think now it's time to say it again. You know, we've had discussions about staff structure, about changing positions, about single linkage, and I think it's our responsibility to continue that discussion in this budget. I know it needs to be an executive session. We've been at this for 3 hours. I propose that we plan another meeting, you know, it's our responsibility in the very near future and tackle this stuff about our staff structure and how it fits in the budget. We are the steering committee. We decide what our staff does and how many staff we have and how it works. And since I've, you know, been unfollowed partially and I'm back all the way now, it's been a stream of every meeting that we've had. I'd like to settle this and be more efficient. And let's move ahead to tackle this stuff subject head on. Thank you.
Thomas Stack, I have two questions.
Okay, go ahead.
One is, I didn't notice this till after you'd already passed it in those lines, but is it true that you're not paying for steering committee lodging at the A&M?
Yes.
And then the other is more of a comment. I'm afraid that if you put this A&M budget through, that we're going to be tied to those figures. And usually I thought what we did was we just put a bottom line figure for revenue and a bottom line figure for expenses, and they were revenue neutral, because we may spend more on meeting, but we may save on staff. We may spend more on staff, but we might, you know, not need advertising. So I hate for us to be tied to that, because we don't know the figures yet.
Yeah,
if
Hillary
we knew the figures, it's okay. It's okay if we knew the figures, but we don't yet.
Hillary,
go ahead.
So, I mean, look, this is what I've inherited. Clearly, we don't actually hold you to the line items, right? I mean, look at what was projected in the budget in column F and what
right.
was spent in column G. So, you know, I think it's just easier for the NC to digest, like, oh, these are some, like, concrete things that cost money, than rather than just, like, annual meeting, 15 grand, move on, right? Because I think that invites a lot of, like, why do we spend $15,000 on an annual meeting? Couldn't we spend that money somewhere else? And it's like, yes, but we don't have that money unless we have a meeting. So, you know, it doesn't matter to me. We can collapse it into just one annual meeting line and just use line 88. But clearly in practice, the annual meeting bills get paid with the annual meeting revenue, regardless of what bills they are.
I understand that, and I'm fine with this. I'm fine with you doing that as long as I know that we can, because what you said before, if we did that with staff, then we would be tied to staff. That's the only reason I'm saying it. I don't want us to be tied.
I think a little more specific.
Yeah.
Okay, that's fine. It's fine. I mean, I know that that's
yeah.
what we've done in the past.
There's a lot of inconsistency in our internal practice.
I know. That's fine.
It seems like this is
bring,
also.
That's why I brought it up.
It seems like this is a conversation that could continue. Okay,
but
so
my
question
was not answered.
Question.
Are you not including? Is
yes, I answered it. We're not including travel lodging for staff, for steering committee.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry. I didn't hear that. I'm sorry. I just didn't hear that.
Okay.
Can we proceed, please?
Yeah, and I would like to second Mike's motion.
Yeah.
Okay.
So we have a motion on the floor. Can people consent upon submitting this budget, knowing that, of course, it will be open to further discussion? Any discussion, any blocking concern?
I have a blocking concern.
Okay. What
George
is that?
Has a blocking concern.
Okay, so we'll hear two blocking concerns. Darlene?
My blocking concern is that the issues with the staff is not transparent enough. There's no information on the salary per staff person. I have a lot of concerns with the increase in salary and wages and benefits. It seems to have, it's very top heavy, and the majority of our budget is going to staffing five individuals as opposed to promoting the growth of our party.
Okay.
Gloria Stack.
Okay, and could I also could I also hear George's blocking concerns? I'll leave that to Gloria, then Mike, and we'll take this up. George, go ahead. Your blocking.
My blocking concern is twofold. One, that in terms and not just the outreach committee, what we're talking about outreach in terms of print materials and promotion. It, you know, nowhere else in this budget is that an item to fund, you know. And so I seek, you know, with the concurrence of the outreach committee, that $3,500 be put into the outreach budget for this coming year. And without any direction as to where the money should come from. Secondly, I agree with Darlene in terms of staffing. You know, we've been talking about this stuff for a long time, and now we're putting in a budget that'll work out later on. I feel that we should really tackle this as a part of the budget. I want clarification if by our bylaws a budget has to be passed on a certain date. I need to understand that. That affects these things. But I would rather have us take care of our business completely within this next calendar year. Thank you.
Okay. So we've got two sets of blocking concerns, and I heard Gloria and then Mike. So, and I was just going to say it's almost 10 till midnight Eastern time. So just if people want to continue, and if we'd rather pick it up later, I suppose it could be taken up further online or another call, but just a kind of a note. So Gloria, go ahead.
Thanks for that comment, reality check, Holly. Well, I guess, you know, I'll just Darlene in terms of trying to work towards consensus to see if we can pass this budget. You know, I just want to say that in most all organizations, the bulk of their expenses are staff and staff related. I mean, there's just no way around that. It's just kind of the way it is. I'm not saying good or bad, but just that's an expectation I think we're going to have to always have, that will be a bulk of the budget. We continue to have staff. And I just want to go back to what Hillary said, which is putting those salaries in the budget means that those are the salaries that we now have. And if the budget passes, how can we make the changes that we are having conversations about, whether it's cutting hours or freezing salaries or, you know, other things like are related to staff. Once it's in a budget as a line item, person by person, we're going to have that problem. And wouldn't we rather have the flexibility of being, we're not done having this conversation. I feel like I want to be clear that I think just passing this budget doesn't mean we're done having conversation about staffing issues. I think that's the only ones I'll address at this point so others can have a chance. Thank you.
Any other comments?
Mike Stack?
Mike, go ahead.
Sure. I mean, I just wanted to thank any of my colleagues and other participants who are on this call or not on this call, on fundraising committee and finance committee. People who have been participatory in the budget process and discussing potential staffing and human resources kind of recommendations. Just wanted to thank everyone who's been commenting on all of the documents that have been circulating and sharing their concerns over the past 2 months. I also want to acknowledge and recognize all of the concerns that we've discussed tonight over this long call. I certainly empathize with the notion that, you know, some of these committees are unfortunately not going to have a budget allocation. But regardless of what particular committees get an allocation, we need to transform this party into one of a culture of enthusiastic volunteerism in recognition. And that needs to happen kind of, you know, regardless of this budget, because who knows, you know, the 2019 budget might be even worse potentially. And so I think what will get us to that point is not necessarily giving particular committees this stipend or that stipend. But I hope that despite our disagreements, the steering committee, as I think the most visible kind of leaders in this party, once we pass this budget, can really come together to help create and foster that environment of enthusiasm and recognition of volunteers, because we're definitely going to need them to do all kinds of projects in the upcoming year to turn around our projected income and hopefully exceed what that projected income is. Over.
So I'm going to I'd like to jump in really quickly and just make one thing before you continue. It's clear that there is not a consensus, and there seems to be two issues. One is the request for $3,500 in outreach for the coming year, no direction as to where from. This was already taken up earlier and voted down, but you can continue it again. The other seems to be a number of issues surrounding staff and how staff are how that budgeting is allocated. And it sounds like that's not going to be worked out. Well, not on this call, because a bunch of it's going to be executive session. So I'm not sure how people want to continue with that. So, George, you could talk, speak, and then maybe you guys could figure out how you want to proceed with addressing these issues.
Yeah, I just want to make a
George and then Hillary. George, go ahead.
I just want to make a general statement here. You know, we are all the Green Party. You know, to use language like a stipend to a committee implies welfare. I'm sorry. We got to be careful about our language. All of us in the Green Party are equal. That's why we're in this party. And our opinion should be equal, too. Thank you.
Chris, sec.
Okay, I've got Hillary and then Chris.
I just want to say I'm comfortable with going to a vote tonight, and I've got to get off this call in 9 minutes because I have to be up early in the morning.
Okay, so maybe take a quick backup vote, and then at least you'll know where you're at, and you'll know the issues. Chris, go ahead, and then maybe we could just move to a vote.
Yeah, Chris, I just want to – there is a deadline, and if we're not – I think we're past it. You know, as far as getting the budget approved by when it's supposed to be approved, just late after working a full day, I don't have the energy in me to scan through the financial guidelines that, you know, say that. But we've
Hillary
listed.
Staff.
Huh?
We were supposed to have given a budget to the NC by November 15th. Though Jody tells me, like, oh, don't worry, we've had years where we never did it or it went really late, and that's fine. However, like any of us in union situations know, without a budget, the status quo rules the day, which is more expensive than this budget. So I just urge us to get this done. It's still going to take time because we are basically going to be held to the old numbers until we have new numbers.
So I just wanted to say that there is a deadline, that we are beyond the deadline, and that I also...
Darlene Stack.
Chris, go ahead and finish then, Darlene, and then I think this should probably go to a vote.
The staffing number we approved last week or last fall, I'm pretty sure, in our executive session, that was what... When we had that discussion, that was where that ended. We didn't specify anything, and I think, you know, what Hillary's been talking about, you know, as far as that giving us the flexibility to make needed changes is important. You know, so I think we need to move forward with this. And, you know, as far as the $3,500, we voted on it once, and I don't think we need to take it up again. Over.
Okay, Darlene, and then probably go to a vote quickly here. Darlene, go ahead.
So the thing of, you know, it needing to be to the NC by a certain time, again, we worked on the budget months after the last time. And it didn't change the Green Party. It's much better to do a good job than to do a half-after job. I'm trying to think what I was going to say. Oh, my question is for Hillary. Hillary, so that bottom line, $132,000, you're going to tell me that if we get more fundraising, that figure's not going to change? If more money comes in and the revenues come in, that figure's not going to change? We're going to leave it
there?
No,
that's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is that if more money comes in, we will have a discussion again about we will basically do a budget amendment, and we will have this discussion all over again, happy, happy, joy, joy, about how to spend that money. It is not presumed to be spent in one way or the other. And I think a large part of it also is like, well, how much money? Like $10,000 more? Put it to committees. $50,000 more? Maybe it's worth restoring some staff positions. We also have to see how staff has you know, adapted to the changes in scopes of work and different levels of supervision. I mean, I think all of that, like, it's just not known right now because we haven't reached it.
Can I ask another question?
Keep in mind, it's 5 till midnight.
Did you get in writing from the staff? Did they write? Did they, you know, enter into an agreement with you in writing and documentation that's documented that they're going to agree to the $132,000 as long as none of them are laid off? Did you get something in writing?
No, because we were waiting to take it back to this body and get approval from this group, and that was only 3 days ago. So no, we have not officially agreed to that, though that was their proposal, and we seem to agree to it on Sunday. So I can write it up, and we can get it signed, or however we want to proceed.
So really, they could, each one of them, continue to press and act that each one of their salaries be refunded.
What do you mean by refunded?
Well, I mean, you know, they can continue at their current salary base. They technically can ask for that right now. Because
yes,
there's no,
but we also don't have to accept it. I mean, the other reality is that we have no working contract with anybody, collectively or individually.
Right. So because there's no working contract, right, theoretically that $132,000 may not be static because our paid staff may say, listen, well, you know, I got paid $40,000 a year. I'm not going to reduce to $20,000.
But that's exactly what they said. Right. I mean, that was the discussion that we had with them, was that they said they are all willing to take cuts in order to keep them all employed at some level.
But they didn't tell you how drastic they would be willing
to do that. No, they specifically said the 132 number. Like, they said, we can live with Mike's budget. That was what had been shared with them.
I'm going to step in.
That is the
here.
Number
this
that
is,
we agreed
this
to.
This has Mike been clarified. And, okay, you've got a minute and a half to do this, because then I think it's clear that there is not a complete consensus on this. But if you want to make it some kind of decision tonight in order to move forward, it might be good to at least take a backup vote or approve it with conditions. But might go ahead, and then I think a backup vote needs to go quickly.
Yep. For the record, I just wanted to note, since this is a public call, that we did on executive session on Sunday have, I think, about an hour where a very steering committee member asked clarifying questions of Hillary and Gloria about the negotiating process. Over.
Okay. Why not go then to a quick backup vote? This would be to accept the budget as written, as clarified. So there are some questions still outstanding, but as just recently explained, this vote would be to, and that's open to obviously adjustment on down the road. But I'm going to do a quick roll call then. Andrea, accept the budget or not. Andrea?
Yes.
Okay. Gloria? Gloria?
I'm sorry. I was on mute, and I was getting asked a question by my son. Are we voting on the budget at this moment?
Yes. Yeah.
I vote yes.
Okay. Michael?
I vote yes.
Okay. George?
I block a budget that has no line item for printing or outreach.
Okay. George, is that a no?
That's a no. It's a block.
Okay.
We have consensus. It's a block.
Darlene. No.
Okay. Chris.
Yes.
Hillary.
Yes.
Okay. So this is, you know, five yeses and two noes. You know, there are blocking concerns, and as my understanding is the consensus, of course, that you want to continue to answer the questions, but that tells you where you stand right now, and if a backup vote rules, then the thing does pass. I don't know what the current steering committee rule is for that. So anyway, that's the current stance of things. So it's now midnight, and I'm assuming that you can take this stuff up online unless you'd like to stay on for any longer.
Hillary Stack.
George Stack.
So this is the first time hearing about backup votes, and this might not be the final decision. Whatever it is, but I can't do this again for another 3 hours, having done it for 2 months and invited people to participate and not had it happen.
I'm hearing different. My understanding is that this backup vote was the fallback, and so that it does pass. But I
didn't achieve consensus. There were blocking concerns. It went to a vote, and we voted.
Yeah,
and that's usually the end of the story.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay.
Good night,
okay,
all.
Any final comments? No. Okay. Good.
Good night.
Good night.
Good night.